Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, my friends. I want you to listen up and please listen to me very, very carefully. Listen and listen good. Because I want the information we're going to cover today to sink in. And I want people to really buck up and consciously face what we're dealing with. The creeping death that is this predatory social engineering experiment known as the New World Order. We are being acclimated to accept total, absolute, draconian martial law in the United States. I became aware more than 15 years ago of a covert program to acclimate the public, the police, and the military, and the state legislatures to accept open military occupation of the American people. And they've used lots of different excuses, lots of different pretexts. Oh, it's post 9/11. We're going to have guys stand around in New York and Boston and Chicago and LA with machine guns and asking citizens questions, which does nothing to stop terrorists, even if you believe that's real. And oh, the Marine Corps is going to have checkpoints in California 100 miles in, randomly searching vehicles on Friday and Saturday night looking for drunk drivers. You're not for drunk drivers, are you? And then I learned that back in the late 80s, they had regular Marine Corps with the local police in Norfolk, Virginia, and other areas raiding gun dealer, legal gun dealers' homes as part of a covert program to acclimate the military and the police to accept total military takeover of the United States. And of course, since then, we've had colonels on with the National Guard doing drills in Arcadia, Iowa, where they were doing a lockdown of the town and a gun confiscation door-to-door drill, and that was all admitted in the newspaper. And then when we covered it and it became a political firestorm, they said, well, Mr. Jones is a kook. Yeah, we're doing gun confiscation drills, but still his interpretation of it is kooky. And since then, we've seen Illinois and the city of Chicago in the last year and a half call for regular Army and National Guard checkpoints looking for illegal guns and door-to-door, quote, weapons sweeps. I have played the press conferences here on air. Guess what? Now they're doing it. And I have video out of Albany, New York, of the National Guard back from Iraq with giant scanners, x-ray machines, making people drive through the x-ray machines in their cars, literally hundreds of times more powerful than a chest x-ray. And of course, now they admit that it is 20 to 50 times, depending on the system, more. In fact, we reprint that from a few days ago, more radiation in, government admits more radiation in body scanners than previously thought. I need that article. I want to have the specifics. I believe it was even higher in one of the systems than 50 times. High-powered cancer risk. Now they're going to make you go through, driving your car through, super high-powered x-rays that shoot through the metal of the car. And here's the kicker. Here is what shook me to my very core. I already knew this was going on covertly. It is on the Albany, New York TV that they're looking for guns, as if guns are illegal in New York. And they go, oh, look, we found a rifle. The military has been turned into a tool against the American people. I'm going to cover it all when we come back, my friends. It is so incredible. And we just had our camera crew get back, as you know, from Chicago. That video has been posted to PrisonPlanet.tv, a 25-minute exclusive report with foreign troops training to take on American citizens and confiscate our guns, all admitted.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Studying legislation, government white papers, think tank white papers, interviewing whistleblowers and eyewitnesses. And I discovered back in 1995 when I first got on air that there were covert military gun confiscation programs going on around the country. I was sent videos shot by military people that were concerned that showed Cooperative Nugget 95 in Louisiana with foreign troops training, with people playing the role of U.S. citizens, being stopped at checkpoints in mock U.S. cities in small towns, and having their firearms taken. I then traveled to urban warfare drills across the country and witnessed Marines, Army, National Guard training to take the American people's guns and admitting it. I would then see a CNN report in my hotel room at night of the drills, and they would say, troops are training for Bosnia. Troops are training for any future Iraq missions. And I had been at the drills, and I knew it was for America. And I made films about it. I desperately tried to warn people. And this has been a long-term strategic covert operation. Do you realize how creepy and how evil that is? Not only is the military being acclimated and trained to confiscate our guns and run checkpoints and detention centers publicly in NLE 09 and so many other drills, and to set up FEMA camps in a matter of hours at sports stadiums, part of Top Off 1, Top Off 2, and other drills, but it's been a covert long-term program. The earliest examples I can find of it are 1987 in Norfolk, Virginia, with regular Marines officers, the creme de la creme, in police windbreakers, raiding legal gun shop owners' homes. So they have been forging these treasonous relationships for 23 years that I know. Eisenhower had a drill in 1960 that newspapers picked up on, practicing taking over several U.S. cities. And that was because the Republicans, of course, had passed the first Civil Rights Act, and they were preparing for that. But this is completely different. This is door-to-door, lockdown cities, cordon and confiscate guns. And, of course, you know, last year we got the colonel on. It was in the Arcadia newspaper in Iowa. And they said, oh, yes, they're working with a local gun shop. He's playing the part of the terrorist militia member, and he won't turn his guns in. And we're doing door-to-door gun confiscation drills, and the citizens have allowed us to lock down the city and go to their houses and search them, search their cupboards, was a quote. And then we saw Blagojevich right before he got disgraced saying, I'm going to have army checkpoints and we're going to have sweeps all over the state for guns and we're going to have troops go door to door confiscating guns. I played the news conference. Now the city council's announced it. Other members of the legislature have announced it. It's now going on. My guys, 2 weeks ago, were in Chicago. The 25-minute report just went up on PrisonPlanet.tv last night of Polish and other Eastern Bloc country troops training to take on, quote, American terrorists and with weapon sweeps. Now, it all comes home and hits you when you get a press release by the CHIPS last year, the California Highway Patrol, and it says the Marines are going to be helping us in the next month at daytime and nighttime checkpoints in the county looking for drunk drivers. And then the Marines were armed. We talked to the local newspapers. The eyewitnesses, and armed Marines pull you over, search your vehicle, take your guns, put you in a squad car, and send you to jail. And if guns are found, you're just taken to jail. Doesn't matter if they're legal. Now, that is confirmed treason. And I don't just throw the word treason around here, boys and girls. I walked in here 30 minutes before showtime, and Matt Ryan said, you're going to want to see this, because he'd seen the Fox News report out of Albany that, oh, tonight, National Guard to be on the streets of New York, in New York State, in door-to-door anti-drug sweeps. And I said, you watch, that's going to be guns as well, because they mix the word drugs with guns to demonize guns. And I walked in, he said, you're going to want to watch this. And I saw it, and I had an adrenaline rush. I started breathing heavy. I started pumping my fist, because as a red-blooded American, I know a Red Dawn takeover when I see one. And that it's such creeping death, though. You're noticing they're using the army to confiscate guns in Katrina 5 years ago. You notice all over the Gulf now, they're using the army backing up police to say felony federal charges under the orders of the Coast Guard if anybody videotapes what BP's doing, or the chlor exit and the toxins they're dumping by the millions of gallons out. I mean, this is the end of America. Every chance they get, they set the parameters and the precedent to, we're not going to bring you food and water. We're going to block anybody trying to evacuate on their own, and we're going to come into your house and put you in plastic handcuffs and take your guns and take you to a buses and put you forcibly on them. And when the oil comes in, they're going to try that in the Gulf. This is all drills. This is all being done to acclimate the population. And it's done to warp the minds of our men and women in uniform, both police and military. Please, for heaven's sakes, be smart enough to research. I mean, why were they covertly having secret military gun confiscation in 87? Why do they have Marines out doing PR stunts at drunk driving checkpoints from Kentucky to Alabama to California? Why do regular armed Marines come out when they have a shooting in a small town and then armed Marines show up? Why do they have for security at the Kentucky Derby, regular Army and National Guard? And when people run out on the field, they go and beat them up with 45 sidearms loaded. They don't let the troops on the border, the few thousand that are down there for show, in quote, drug interdiction, that are kept 10 miles off the border because the Mexican troops will shoot at them because they're ready for war and haven't been castrated. They don't even let them have loaded weapons, but you better believe they got 45s. Folks, I've had regular Army come over to me in New York with 45s on their side. It's in my film Endgame. Come running across the street because I'm videotaping and scream and cuss at me with 45s on their sides. Loaded 45s, APC, because I'm the enemy, not those Mexican troops. Firing at people, killing, and when police interdict drugs, they'll race across the border, now up to 25 miles in. First it was a mile, then 3 miles, then 6 miles, then 10 miles. They control over 80 miles in. Sheriffs are begging for emergency help. There's thousands of deaths. Whole neighborhoods are being burned down in Arizona. Rocket attacks in South Texas. Car bombs in Dallas. And it's back of the newspaper. And what does the treasonous, treacherous federal government do? It violates the 9th, 10th, and 11th Amendment. You know, the 11th Amendment says the federal government can't sue a state, and it can't sue an individual on behalf of a foreign power. Why do the states? That was the First Amendment after the first 10. 1797. Because there were already foreign powers coming in and lobbying federal bureaucrats to make sweetheart deals to harass certain states using the Commerce Clause so that foreign powers made larger profits on their exports and imports. And so they had to pass an amendment going, look, the federal government is, and it was almost a revolution over it. In fact, troops actually from the state started marching on New York, which was the capital at the time. This is on record. Have you studied the history? The state started marching on the Washington. What is Washington today? Of course, New York. They started marching on New York, on the capital, because they were globalist. Special interest came in. It was called mercantilism at the time, and they were using federal regulators to sue and harass and mess with the states, and so they had to pass the 11th Amendment. It's all there in the Constitution if you read the stinking thing. Now, violating the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th Amendment, this is treason. Feds sue to block Arizona illegal immigrant law. Mexico is a failed state. It has collapsed. Now Arizona is collapsing, and a third of the state conservatively is now denied. Sheriffs in three counties are saying they can't even basically leave their offices. There are murder bounties out on the sheriffs that have called for help. That's mainstream news. And people are making jokes in the blogs and the, quote, liberal news sites going, oh, big deal. You know, so what if they're getting death threats? Ladies and gentlemen, the Mexican drug cartels kill police. Of the 22,000-plus people killed in the last 2 years, many of them are police. And the others convert to corruption and go ahead and take the payoffs. This is the Mexican form of corruption that is now going to collapse the United States. You understand, our National Guard is in Afghanistan on record in AP, Reuters, and Fox News, and the regular Marines and Army are there admitting. The guys showed me another ABC News video the other day where it admitted on ABC Nightly News, on broadcast TV, that they're guarding the poppies, and it showed the troops guarding the poppies to, quote, be friends with the Afghans. They're shipping that crud in. Our troops grow the stinking stuff, and then now they're going to be all over the country. The cover, so conservatives go along with it, is, oh, it's a... In fact, that's the headline here out of Fox 23 out of Albany, New York, War on Drugs Part 1. And it says, oh, there, it's drug interdiction for cocaine and heroin. And then you read, help find drugs and weapons. And they have giant scanners that they make you drive through that are incredibly powerful, many times more powerful than a chest x-ray. And they have these giant mobile trucks that you drive under that have these big wands sticking out that scan your car with high-powered x-rays. And it shows the military showing the scans where it looks right through your car. And they go, look, we got a rifle. Arresting. So they got troops for New York and Illinois and California to search citizens. Remember the Tennessee governor last year told the military to stop doing illegal checkpoints? The military said, we're going to go ahead and do it anyways. That's in my new martial law film. That's in Police State 4, Rise of FEMA. I mean, do you understand what's happening? But they won't give troops to the border that's collapsing because they're globalist.
Way up north, up to Alaska. Way up north, up to Alaska. North to Alaska. Go north for rest is home. North to Alaska. Go north.
And what's sick about all this is, we laid out how derivatives and the end of the Glass-Steagall Act were designed to bankrupt our country. We broke down how the states were being set up to be bankrupt more than a decade ago. That's all now coming true. I told you there was a covert plan through an organization called Northcom before they even officially set it up after 9/11 to deploy federalized police in threat fusion centers with regular military to surveil the American people and carry out just unbelievable acts of oppression. And now it's the times of the Army times. You know, 2 years ago, 400,000 troops, Brigade Homeland, starting out with 4,000. And then we get their internal training documents, and they're training to take us on. And we get the New York Times, and it shows Explorer Scouts training with Homeland Security to, quote, take on disgruntled vets. Our current military and our police are trained to take on gun-owning Americans. If you're a gun-owning American with an American flag flying outside your house and a photo of John Wayne, and folks, I got a lot of relatives that got John Wayne hanging up in their living rooms and kitchens, okay? That's who the government hates. They don't like you. You like the red, white, and blue and John Wayne, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. You don't like socialism. You're the enemy. And I mean, I'm not just saying that. They hate you. Read the MIAC and Homeland Security report. But they get all these young military people and all these young law enforcement people who are on power trips, and they really teach them that these patriots are bad and these gun owners are bad. And they love it when the good people get out or go to a smaller department to get away from it, because all they've got left is steroid head, lunatic socialist. And I'm telling you, they're gearing up and training hard for war with the American people. And look at how the federal government's waging war on our borders, waging war on Arizona. They love the fact that California is going bankrupt. They love the fact that Michigan's going bankrupt in Florida. They love it. They love weakness. They love collapsing societies. What do the banks do? They go in and bomb countries using our muscle. Then they come in and give them loans to rebuild them. Well, they've used derivatives as a financial bomb to take us down. And I keep repeating this because I want it to really sink in and I want it to get out there into the nomenclature. This is all premeditated. This isn't Obama. This isn't George Bush. This isn't Bill Clinton. This isn't George Sr. This isn't Ronald Reagan. They're just puppets. They have been covertly, since the mid-1980s, this is in congressional hearings, preparing for a military/police takeover of the United States. The government, in congressional hearings in the 90s, admits they ship narcotics in to destabilize this country. And then they put young troops out on the streets with body scanners, mobile body scanners. This is on the local news. And car scanners. And they have you drive through it. This is on the news, them having people drive through giant army car scanners. And here's the Mail Online. Airport body scanners could give you cancer, warns expert. Here's another one. Columbia University, body scanners increase risk of skin cancer. 20 times higher or more than previously estimated with just the lowest radiation emitting X-ray system. And they are a form of X-ray. 20 times, and of course now they admit, oh yeah, we are recording your naked body and everyone must do it. This is all dog training. Why are we all destroying ourselves? Police, military. I read to you Fox News where Maryland's banned that chemical added to plastic which sterilizes men. I've got the government documents where they decided in the 50s to make that standardized and phased it in by the 70s, and that's why your fertility's way down. You're under attack. Why do you buy into this fake Al-Qaeda fiction? I told you they were going to put troops on the streets in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda, and that next it would be gun confiscation, and now I've got local newscasts in Illinois, California, and New York all announcing that they're trying to take your guns, and I've got newscasts out of Oakland and out of Boston and out of Dallas where they say, well, the police are asking to come in your house and search for guns. And then I've got one out of Boston where they force their way in. I mean, they put hardcore crimes on TV where the police force their way in without a warrant to search for guns. They want your guns. The first thing they did in Katrina was say, let's set a precedent. Let's get their guns. And that was under Bush. And remember, I'll go back to this. Remember what happened in Tennessee? Last year, I had a state rep on. The governor was in the newspaper in Tennessee. Homeland Security had all four branches of the military out searching people, shutting down whole highways. There was video and photos of it. It's in my new Police State film, Police State 4. And when the governor said no, the Army and the military said, we're going to do it anyways. It's a total federal takeover.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
And that's why you're the number one enemy of the criminal corporations that took this country over. You're self-sufficient. You know how to use a gun. You're red-blooded. You got John Wayne hanging up in your house. You're scheduled to have your brains beat out in a FEMA camp. You think I'm joking? They've gone out there and selectively, psychologically tested millions and millions of troops and police that have gone through their brainwashing facilities. And they've got giant cadres that are ready to wage war against us. Well, I'm going to crank this up and say this to you.
Starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan, boys raised on shotguns.
You know, people are really starting to figure out that all of this is for real. This isn't hyperbole. So So many times I'll be being interviewed in studio by a TV station or another radio host or a newspaper reporter, and they'll always look across the table and say, do you really, off record, do you really believe all this? Is this all an act? Is your name really Alex Jones? And I look at them and I say, what is your problem? Can't you look around you and see that the things I'm talking about are all manifesting themselves in an even more insane way than I can even describe? Let me boil this down very simply here. The New World Order are social engineers. They're psychologists. They're anthropologists. They're scientists. In their own words, they describe themselves as that. They understand full spectrum dominance. They've made a cold-blooded decision that we are subhuman because we are not members of the elite. That is proof self-evident that we're not members of the elite. And so we are obviously subhuman, and that we're hurting the earth and that we need to be removed. And, of course, most of the people that are in the substrata of this themselves are being soft-killed and are too weak-minded to even admit that to themselves and get off on the power trip of knowing about the soft kill, but just accepting it. And it's very simple. First, they've got to take over economically, and they've got to take over the agriculture, and they've pretty much done that to the entire Western world. And then they bankrupt us economically. And they know that we're going to get angry and try to take our government back. And they're there with oppressive mechanisms to keep us in line. They have been quietly gearing up a high-tech surveillance system with cameras, microphones, all fed into the NSA, face scanning, license plate scanning, everything being tracked everywhere you go. Those of us that would try to warn you, they would just call us kooks and nuts, even when we had the documents. But now you notice they're saying, yeah, we're listening to you with microphones. Yeah, we're tracking your cell phone. Yeah, there's no need to go through the toll road anymore and put money in. We're tracking your license plate with license plate readers. Yeah, we're controlling everything you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we took your baby's blood at birth 38 years ago. Yeah, it's in a Pentagon database for bioweapons. Yeah, we're going to start censoring the internet. Yeah, okay, we are talking about putting lithium in the water to calm you. By the way, they're already doing it. Every major water supply, they're adding it to if you go pay to have the test done. That's one of the hundreds of chemicals they put in. You're under chemical warfare attack. And they know most of you are too weak-minded to even admit that. You're not going to go research it because at your core, you're a coward. At your core, you won't admit up to hardcore things that are going on. You won't even look into it. And that's why they can come out in Fox News and say, yeah, okay, all men have basically ingested things to reduce their fertility, and it causes cancer, and it also causes breast cancer in women. Remember, I read that headline yesterday. What you going to do about it? You're going to do nothing. You're going to sit there and you're going to die and you're going to take it. I mean, why? Why? 99.9% of us are going to be hurt and destroyed by this. And it doesn't matter. They give you petty power roles in your little sector of the compartmentalized system, and so you don't care. It's easy to sit there in your squad car laughing at me right now. Go ahead then. Go ahead, shoot your kids up with mercury and cancer virus-filled vaccines. Go ahead and drink all the tap water you want. Go ahead and eat all that GMO corn and food. Go ahead, okay? But I'm here to speak to the people that do actually care. I'm here to speak to the people who aren't on petty power trips and to tell you that I've done the best job I can to warn you, and everything we discuss here is real and documented on record, and it's so much worse because it's all interconnected. And when you study this hour after hour, day after day, year after year, you get such a clear image of what's going on. And then so many times I later get a new government white paper or a new university document, sometimes written 30, 40, 50 years ago, and it's word for word what I've already envisioned their program to be, and there they are admitting it all. And I know what the next sentence is going to say. Do you know what that's like? And now all over the country, we see the military rolling out. And they'll first have a PR piece. Oh, we're here in southern Tennessee and the Army's out, or the Marines are out, or the National Guard are out with the jaws of life helping cut people out. And they'll cut to a woman. I was stuck in the car and the Marines came and helped me and put me on care flight for my broken leg. Thank you. That's all PR to literally conquer you and occupy you. The federal government is occupying you. Do you know why they're doing that? You know why Smedley Butler was sent to third world countries to occupy them? When they totally destroyed their standard of living. When they took over their society. I was reading this morning about all these towns and major cities simultaneously in Australia doubling and tripling their water cost, quote, privatizing it for their national debt, giving your water supply over to private interests that sold you derivatives through fraud, and then doubling and tripling prices. Here in Austin, they swore 5 years ago, 2 years ago, that they would never put toll roads on MOPAC. After they'd announced they were going to do it, we would go to the city council meetings and they'd say, what are you talking about? Because an election was coming up. We're not planning that. We said, here's your maps. Here's your press conferences. And they said, you're a conspiracy theorist. That was on the news. They called us conspiracy theorist. And then they announced today they're going to take MOPAC and the existing lanes, the second most busy bridge and highway in Texas, and they're going to put a toll road on it. It's against state and federal law. They don't care. And guess who's running it? State Senator Kirk Watson, former Austin mayor, who took tens of thousands of private property, wouldn't let people build on it, took it through adverse possession, said it was going to be a nature preserve, and turned around and sold it to his buddies, and he even owns the private bank that runs all the transactions. I mean, this guy is a fat, degenerate gangster. This guy is an El Jefe. This guy is a sickening joke. Last year, I was still doing my Sunday show out of the KLBJ studios, and Beyond the Beltway would come to town, a syndicated national show. And that guy, you know, shook my hand and said, oh, I like the show. And all of a sudden, Kirk Watson walks in. This is about 2 minutes, you know, before their show starts. My show just ended in the same studio because they were down here visiting. And Kirk Watson started shaking. And, hi, Alex, hi. And I didn't make a scene. I just said, hi, Kurt, and left. He was shaking, and he should be shaking. Because I know who he is. I mean, the farmers and ranchers who called me crying, their homes I went to. For a decade, the city wouldn't let them build on it or sell it, but kept their property taxes up and then took it by adverse possession and literally gave those families, some of them that had been there since Texas was founded, you know, back when Austin was named Waterloo and not Austin after, of course, the people involved in the founding of the state. Stephen F. Austin, Colonel Travis, all of them, Travis County. And I just would sit there and I'd watch those old ranchers and cowboys going in, pulling up their old trucks, walking in saying, look, don't take my property. I just want it to be a ranch. And Watson saying it's for the salamanders, it's for the earth. And then I watched him build hotels and strip malls on it. And that, oh, just to be ruled by mafia trash. It's so painful. And to just see him announce it today in a press conference. Yeah, we're going to put toll roads on the existing road. Paul Watson's doing a detailed report on this right now at prisonplanet.com. But we have the video posted with a blurb by Matt Ryan. This is on Infowars.com. Treason in New York. National Guard confiscating guns from citizens. See, a military kills people and breaks things. They got National Guard, regular army. They're already turning the National Guard into regular army, federalizing it. Training everywhere to take your guns. And in this newscast, they start out by how they're fighting drugs. And then they segue into, oh, we're also going after guns. And, oh, look, we put you through the X-ray machine. And look, there's a gun hidden in that trunk. This is really going on. This is really happening. And then if you get upset about it and try to go videotape one of these installations, they came out and arrested that middle-class housewife, and she had a gun in her trunk, and they arrested her and trumped up terrorism charges on her when she wasn't planning anything, because you're the enemy. And all over the country now, the National Guard and Army and Marines are part of Knock and Talk. The police come into your door with troops saying, we want to come in and look at your guns. And if you say no, on the news in Boston, they pushed their way past without warrants into your house. And they announced, hey, the First Amendment's dead. This is really happening. They really have taken most of the old National Guard armories and turned them into threat fusion, threat integration centers. And they have regular Army, CIA, FBI, all this money they give locals in there, tracking people's cell phones in real time. They got the cameras reading the license plates of the cars, and they tell the cops in there, you're federalized now. You get a federal stipend on top of it. But don't tell anyone. You've signed a national security letter now. And here's Colonel Drago from Eastern Europe. He's going to be your liaison. I mean, I see that all over the news now, where foreign troops are part of the threat fusion centers. In fact, here's an article out of PrisonPlanet.com. Paul Joseph Watson, we have the 25-minute video posted at PrisonPlanet.tv. East European troops, Poland and other countries, training to take on the American people on video. Polish troops trained to take on American terrorists. Kurt Nemo's headline, foreign troops training to confiscate guns of Americans. And, of course, here's where you can look at the video from ABC News and also Fox 23 News. Treason in New York. And it goes on, National Guard confiscating guns from American citizens. This is really going on. And they just slowly ease it out there to condition you. They tell you, oh, we're fighting drugs and guns. And I told you about that Supreme Court ruling. They've now passed a new law in Chicago that, yes, if we allow you to take the five-hour class and then the background check clears, don't have to be a criminal to be denied, and then if we decide that maybe you can be registered to have a gun locked up in your house. Let's go ahead and go to this clip of the military putting people through high-powered X-ray machines that shoot through car metal. And I've looked up these systems. I mean, it is off the charts compared to a chest X-ray. And of course, it's very dangerous to the troops running them. They don't care if the troops die of testicular cancer 5 years from now. They don't care. They are setting precedents to record your naked bodies in the airports and pump you full of high-powered radiation. Why not dwarf it? Now they're saying there's breast bombs. Breast bombs that Al-Qaeda, Al-CIA is going to hit us with. So now they want chest X-rays at the airport. Why not? The gullible American people let the bank steal trillions and Congress can't find out where it went. Why not send us through chest X-rays? What a good way to give people cancer. Let's go ahead and play this clip. Here it is out of Fox 23, Albany, New York.
In tonight's Fox Focus, the New York National Guard has been part of missions around the world, but they also have a very important one right here at home.
It's to keep the drugs off our local streets. Their technology and training is now free to local police departments and agencies if they want it. As Fox 23's Kristen Lauman explains, no one's been turned away if they ask for help.
Dust and desert, the images most equate with the New York National Guard on the front lines in the Middle East fighting the war on terror. These images are pictures of another fight, a fight here at home.
The war on drugs is an ongoing war. Our people are committed to this fight. It's a domestic fight. They firmly believe in it.
The New York National Guard's Counter-Drug Task Force providing not only the people, but the equipment law enforcement may need to make drug arrests and seizures.
We can go right on the scene with this or into a car. You can sniff around with it, or you can take a swab of a surface and put it into the machine, and it'll tell you what it is.
Using ionization, counter-drugs machines can detect chemicals, explosives, narcotics on money, weapons, even fabric. A simple swab can tell you if that surface had contact with those substances.
Nothing.
And a simple sweep of an undercarriage or a scan of a car can help find drugs or weapons being brought into the Capital Region. While the under-vehicle inspection system looks for traps or voids where anything could be taped or bolted in, the mobile vehicle inspection system takes it one step further.
Basically, it's an X-ray. And if you zoom in on the trunk portion, you can see the rifle that's laid across the bottom there.
With a warrant, a department can request a scan. Then, with a swing of an arm, gamma rays outline the car and its skeleton.
We scan the car and we can give them images of areas that they might want to look at, and we'll identify anomalies for the law enforcement so they can check into the car further. That way they don't have to rip the car totally apart. We can show them spots with points of interest where they might want to check to find something.
The Schenectady Police Department, just one agency that is called in the Guard for help. In 2009, a driver was arrested, his car brought to the station and scanned after an officer smelled marijuana coming from the car. No drugs were found, but that traffic stop and scan, part of an investigation against the suspect.
Our investigation continued on that individual for almost another year, and he eventually was taken into custody for drug trafficking charges. It's a great resource that we certainly don't have the money to afford, but it's a resource available to us at no cost, so it's a big help to us.
All right. And Army helicopters, it cuts to that. All lies. At no cost to you, that's taxpayer money from the state, from the citizens that paid for all that, cop. So get that through your head. Everything is a lie. These people lie so much, they don't even know it's a lie. It's just a world of baloney. And of course, remember, I can play you clip after clip of Army and Marines growing the opium. Growing it. And then they ship it in here, and this guy stands around talking about body scanners. Now, one of them, they send the cars through on a conveyor belt. The other, they set up on a road, and the cars drive through it. And so I guess they're just going to fry you with this system. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, in your face. And this trains the police to bring the citizens back to the Threat Fusion Center run by the Army. We'll be back. It's happened everywhere else. The military just takes over. That's why Latin America can never get up off its knees. That's why much of Asia can't get up off its knees, Eastern Europe. That's why the Dark Ages in Western Europe went on for 1,000 years because of military warlords. And now the offshore banks control our military. And I could play you the ABC News clips of the police chief saying no one will be allowed to be armed. Everyone will have to turn their weapons in from New Orleans. I could play you countless clips of police forcing their way into houses, quote, for gun inspections, even though guns are legal. They just want to come see your guns in Boston, in Oakland. You've all seen it. This is a criminal, predatory government. And they're announcing they're going to take large parts of the police pension funds. The cops are going to love it. At least their bosses are. And it's just totally, totally sick. And I got a lot of other news coming up. I was so shocked by that clip that you just heard, and the video's up on Infowars.com. I never even told you. Wayne Madsen's coming up with his intel on Gulf evacuations in about 35 minutes from now. And then we got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts with his take on the buildup for war with Iran. And then we've got Chris Emery, one of the best researchers I know out there on the overall situation with the Oklahoma City bombing. Of course, he lives up there in Oklahoma, and he's making a film. He's down here interviewing me for it. So we'll kill two birds with one stone, have him in studio. So we've got Wayne Madsen, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and Chris Emery joining us. And we will have open phones as well. I'm going to go ahead and give that number out. But I would ask you specifically, what do you think of them now saying federal felony charges if you try to videotape any of the cleanup efforts or get on the beach down there? Just no First Amendment. The news telling you the First Amendment, quote, is dead. And they kind of say it with pleasure. What do you think of all over the country gun confiscations are now going on with the military running them? And they don't care if your rifle or handgun's legal. They just go ahead and cesspits like New York and Illinois, great people up there, but their governments are total criminals. I remember the Schenectady mayor a few months ago said, oh, I want martial law here. I want the army on the streets. Remember you heard that in Illinois. You heard that in Michigan. I've even heard that in California. And the feds are there lobbying them to do this. And, okay, well, the Marines are going to help because we don't have the resources locally because all the taxes go to the feds. Remember that USA Today headline yesterday about how massive layoffs at county and cities of firemen and people that build the roads and animal control, things you really need. But, oh, the feds are hiring. Their pay is going up. Because it's, I mean, if you want your hind end wiped soon, they're going to have one fed that puts handcuffs on you and the other that does the wiping. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what these vampires do. What does Ted Bundy do? He chains you down. What does John Wayne Gacy do? He chains you down. What did Hitler do? He chained you down before he tore your toenails out and pulled your teeth out with pliers. That's the analogy. You better get your red blood flowing, folks. We know what this is. 110% red alert emergency. And I'm not running off to Costa Rica or something. I'm going down with the ship. But a lot of you are going to wish later, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, oh, how we burned in the camps later, wishing we'd have done something when we could. tell you about a few sponsors made this vital transmission possible. And we're coming back with the next hour and a bunch of other incredible news that makes my blood boil. I want to tell you about ColaBlue.com. Did you know you could be drinking fresh, clean drinking water made right out of the air you breathe? No, this isn't something out of a science fiction book. Our sponsor, ColaBlue, the ColaBlue 28 and 30 machines will allow you to do just that. It's easy to use and will make up to 7.5 gallons a day, runs through 7 to 12 filters. It's awesome. It's the best, purest, cleanest drinking water you can get, period. Wonderful system. ColaBlue.com, ColaBlue.com, or 800-691-6043, 800-691-6043. And I also want to tell you about eFoods Direct. Don't forget free shipping until July 14th on multiple orders, even if you wish, or single orders. eFoodsDirect.com/free ship or 800-409-5633. Get your food right now.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We need to get our red blood flowing through our thinking centers of our brain. I mean, look, I analyzed this correctly 15 years ago. And we didn't have all the pieces. Now it's out in the open. Total military occupation, NSA microphones everywhere listening to us, cameras scanning our license plates and faces everywhere we go, worldwide quotas before babies are even born. The CPS comes and is planning to trump up charges to take your child. The New York City subway bomb plot's been linked to the same British MI6 cell that we've proven is run by a high-level member of MI6. I covered that in Terror Storm. The Russians are now admitting those are basically spies. Of course they are. But they're offering to give U.S. spies back that we never hear about in our media in a spy swap. Notice the spies didn't try to infiltrate the government because that's all run by a bunch of political prostitutes. They tried to infiltrate Harvard and Wall Street that runs this country. Is going to be taking your pension funds directly. Already are. A lot of you are already getting your pension fund taken, aren't you? Look at this key article. Paul Joseph Watson, and now a detailed analysis of our top story today. New York National Guard units scan vehicles for gun confiscation. Red alert. Red alert. Red alert. This is in New York State. It's going on in Illinois, going on in California, going on in Texas. Oh, yeah, they got National Guard in Dallas. I saw this 5 years ago. People are like, well, then why are you getting so upset? Because it's getting more and more widespread, more and more mainstream. It was a minor footnote in Dallas that, oh, National Guard helps sometimes. You know, we go to the house and ask if we can see the guns. And then you watch the video out of Boston where the cops shove their way past the woman and say, I want to see your guns. I mean, it is just insane. It's so evil. It's bona fide, hardcore cyanide to America. I mean, it's 100%. I keep wringing my hands. I keep trying to figure out what we're going to do. You know what I want to do right now? I haven't opened the phones up yet. I want to open the phones up for police and military. I want to hear from you because I know police sent us a lot of key information. It was police sent us the information about how the government's trying to take on vets and gun owners. But I want to hear from you. I mean, when the feds come into your town and give you IED training to and all these drills, it's always to fight the local militia. And ROTC is in the newspaper in San Antonio, training at the universities to take on militias and gun owners and the Boy Scouts. I mean, come on. The Boy Scouts are training to take on disgruntled vets. Can't you put two and two together? 1-800-259-9231. We're going to just open the phones up for police and military right now. I'm going directly to your calls after the break. I want to get your view on this as military, current serving military and police. I mean, how many of you heard me 10, 12 years ago? I mean, I've been syndicated for 12 years, 13 years. I mean, how many of you heard me on local talk stations as a guest? You think I'd do two or three interviews every day that are exhausting because I want to get my name out there? No, I do it because I want to warn people. You heard me lay out exactly what would happen, how they'd bankrupt the derivatives, how they would bring in their world government, how it'd be a global cashless SDR. You heard me tell you everything. All you've got to do is go read the globalist documents, and you'll know everything I know, and you'll read it from the enemy's own mouth, and it won't be you heard Alex say it anymore, and there won't be any more procrastination. We don't have time to screw around here. This is Hitler takeover. This is a Stalin takeover. This is a Pol Pot takeover. It's a Mao Zedong takeover, but it's by a corporate elite. So puppet presidents come and go, but this creeping death elite, they stay in power. 800-259-9231. Your call straight ahead. We'll get into all the economic news, BP news, toll roads nationwide. They're coming back with the NAFTA superhighways. Literally 2 years ago, they were saying they weren't going to put a toll road on Mopac. It was a conspiracy theory when we had their official plan. Now they announced today they're going to do it. Totally shutting down the main road in Austin. I mean, it's just total takeover.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. High treason has been committed publicly. Barack Obama, the globalist, sworn to establish a North American Union. He took the baton from George W. Bush, the little treasonous rat who set up the North American Union. In the SPP documents, they say they're going to form a North American Union through border crises, that they would get the American people and Canadians and Mexicans to accept the merger of the security apparatus via crises. Both military, immigrant, flu, they mentioned flu, and climate change, a carbon tax on the highways in the Americas, a carbon tax to fund the new North American Union government. This is all public. And I see CNN say that Rand Paul and Ron Paul are liars and no NAFTA highway plan exists, even though the mayor of Kansas City's public. We have all the federal maps. It's what they do is they announce it, they build it. They start taking over the roads, and then you come and complain. And I saw the city council 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago in Austin say, we are not putting a toll road on the existing road of Mopac. Even though they'd publicly announced it, as soon as the opposition mounted, they said, there's no fight. We're not going to do that now. And they always had it planned for 2011, and the city council went ahead and passed it quietly. Had a press conference this morning with Senator Kirk Watson, the state senator who used to be mayor, and they said, we're going to take your lanes and turn it into a toll road. And that's just the way it is. You're not even going to be able to get home without it. Seizing already existing roads, violating federal and state law. That's your North American Union, and that's why Mexico is collapsing. Many of these border states are in deep trouble, Arizona and others. Sheriffs are calling for help. And the federal government files suit to throw out Arizona immigration law, an act of treason, an act of incredible treachery in violation of the 9th, 10th, and 11th Amendment. I shot a key video last night that Aaron is working on right now that'll be up by the end of the show on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, a 10-minute video that breaks all of this treason down. Now, you dovetail that with the fact that the military, the government that runs our military, thinks you're so stupid and thinks our military is so stupid that they admit in AP, Reuters, Fox, CNN, and ABC News, this is just what I've seen, that our troops guard the opium and help grow it and that production's way up to be friends with the Afghan people. They are shipping the drugs, $500 billion a year, into the United States alone. $500 billion comes out of Afghanistan and opium. Some of it gets split up into Europe. There's another $500 billion total in just all the drugs that come into the U.S. So that number is similar to the total amount of opium coming out. But if you count the cocaine, the heroin, all the other drugs that come in illegally, it's estimated at $500 billion. Of course they run it. There's always CIA aircraft crashing or, you know, in hurricanes full of cocaine. Bloomberg just reported, and Wells Fargo pled guilty to laundering drug money, having drug planes. Of course they do. I mean, who do you think runs this country? They've got to keep it illegal to keep the stinking price up. And now, to fight drugs, they've got checkpoints searching your vehicles with National Guard in Illinois and New York. Not on the border, but in the middle of the country. Now, I already went over this, but I know news stations just joined us. I just can't get over the magnitude of this. We are not allowed to defend our border that's in the Constitution. That's what the military is supposed to be. Our military isn't allowed to be armed on the border, but I have had armed National Guard come running from 50 yards away or even more, cussing at me. It's on video in Endgame, telling me to turn my bleeping camera off and that I can't film them. And I stood up to them. I screamed at them and called them treasonous traitors and get out of my face and what are you doing armed on the streets? But see, I'm an enemy. I'm an American scumbag, so they're allowed to have that 45 against me. But as soon as you retire and as soon as you're done doing your job, you are now the enemy. Remember that. The main training is for you. You remember that. And who broke it? We did. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying we've got credibility. We know exactly what's going on. People always say, well, if this bad stuff was happening, people blow the whistle. They blow the whistle 15 years ago about the secret DNA they take from babies. They blew the whistle decades ago about the government shipping in narcotics. It happened in Vietnam. It happened in the 80s after that. Everything gets the whistle blown on it. Barry Jennings was the deputy head of New York Emergency Management. We got an interview with him for Fabled Enemies. And then he called us and said, my gosh, since you aired that, I'm getting threats. And he was dead a week later. You think this is a game, ladies and gentlemen? This isn't a game. These bankers are going to hurt you bad. They're already hurting you. You like losing your job, getting your pay cut? You ain't seen nothing yet. All right, I'm going to shut up and go to Levi, Bill, Bobby, Brandon. I want to talk to military and police. Okay? What side are you on? What are you going to do about what's happening? I mean, do you disagree with me? I mean, it's out in the open now. Levi in Georgia, who's a police officer. Go ahead, Levi. Thanks for calling.
How you doing, Alex? I'm, for one, am a policeman that sits in my patrol car on many a night, listening to your rebroadcast, and I don't laugh at you. I totally agree with what you're saying.
Well, I appreciate you, and God bless you, sir.
And a lot of other officers out there, there are a lot of them have got that Gestapo-type mentality. I'm it. I work with some, and it's just a constant battle to try to keep from quitting because that slow creep, you know, military-type creep that keeps coming into local law enforcement. But the way I look at it is if I were to quit and get out of the law enforcement profession, then I'll just be opening up my slot for another one of these Gestapo types. So the only thing I do is when I make a stop, I try to treat someone like I want myself, my wife, my daughter treated, and I try to, you know, provide an example for some of the other ones that are more gung-ho, you know, that write a lot of tickets for stuff that doesn't need to be written for. Try to, provide an example for them. Maybe they'll see the light. But,
well, Levi, it's good to have officers like you out there, and I run into a lot of them, and the directors of this planetary regime worldwide are trying to hire people that think it's macho to bully people. But I understand that you're a dying breed, but there's still a lot of good officers out there, and a lot of them are waking up. But what is your take on all over the country, regular Army, Marines, National Guard now, aiding the police in the, quote, search for guns?
Well, I police in the South, you know, in the South and like some of the other states, particularly the Northeast region, you know, they've got a pretty good pro-gun laws on the book. I just see, from that, and a lot of the police officers I know are, you know, NRA members and Second Amendment supporters, but you do see a lot of people, and it's not only the police, it's the citizens out on the street. They will call you, but they have been brainwashed.
Oh, no, I want to be clear. I mean, I want to be clear. I was out at Lake Travis this weekend shooting fireworks, and I saw billboards demonizing the Second Amendment everywhere, paid for with taxpayer money. And believe me, I know. I see articles every week about people being SWAT teamed because, and it's almost always some old man is cleaning their rifle in their garage, in their tinker shop, and some woman walks by, and I'm not bashing women, but that's usually who the report says did it, and they call the police, and the cops have got to respond. The issue is, in places like New York and Illinois, they'll go ahead and arrest the old man and say, you had 10 guns and 2,000 rounds of ammo. This is an arsenal when there's not even a law. And so that's what's scary is we know what the gun grabbers want from New York, in Illinois, and places where they're in control. They want the law-abiding citizens' guns. Levi, God bless you. Good to hear from you. Let's get Bill in Montana, who's police. Let's get Bill's take. Then Bobby, Brandon, Kurt, and others. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Alex. How
yes,
you doing?
Sir. Good, sir.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for about 6 months, and I just wanted to say that you were my second greatest awakening. The Word of God, the King James Bible, was the first. And I was listening to your broadcast the other day. I'm a ex-cop here in Billings, Montana. And we had a tornado touchdown here about 2 weeks ago. And it's really a rare thing for tornadoes to touch down here. And we've got the National Guard everywhere. We've got checkpoints up. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I've never seen nothing like it.
It's all part of the training. It's all part of acclimation.
Well, see, I'm from Alabama. I've lived here in Montana for 10 years, and I was a cop down there, and I got out of that police state 10 years ago. I mean, here in Montana, I guess you could call it the promised land of America because there's no taxes, and if there is a free place, I would say Montana really is the last free place. It's where people maybe could make a stand, but they're just everywhere up here. I've just never seen nothing like it, ever. They've got them at checkpoints checking them. I mean, military-armed gunmen.
Now, I saw that. I saw local newscasts and never even got to it. I mentioned it last week or 2 weeks ago, that it showed men with guns at checkpoints. And even I got conditioned that's normal because I didn't even respond to it on air. Because at a subconscious level, I'm now becoming acclimated and programmed. And the message is Montanans are bad. We had a few buildings torn up. We better set up checkpoints so these Montanans are going to all rob each other. The message is we're criminals. But what did we see the police predominantly do in New Orleans? We saw them being the main looters. And I'm not saying all police are looters. The point is, who watches the watchers? Because statistically, it is government that becomes abusive because it can get away with it. I mean, that's why we do need some police and some control, because history shows if bad people aren't worried about getting caught, they're going to run wild. Well, it's the same thing. Government's not worried about getting caught. They're running wild. No one's watching them. Anything else, Bill?
Well, no, you're right. They're not worried about getting caught, and they're just going to do what they tried to do in 1945 or 39 and set up the one world government. You know, they tried to do it through Hitler then, and he moved too fast with the genocide, and they pulled it back away from him and blamed it all on him. But that's what they're trying to do. They're going to go for broke, and, you know, I've just never seen nothing like it. I thought Montana was free, and I remember you running the hardened people that were running the FEMA camps off up here. And
God bless you, sir. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us. Hitler moved too fast. When you actually read globalist white papers, they talk about how they've got this creeping scientific dictatorship where they've taken decades to slowly militarize the police, acclimate the public for the police and military to be merged, and now roll the police and military out on the streets as political officers, recording what you say and what you do politically and stopping you and asking you questions and having private security people snatch citizens off the street and throw bags over their heads and throw them into cars. That happened in Pittsburgh and Toronto in the last year. Worldwide, the same system done in the same steps. Admittedly, I mean, I've got the Rand Corporation documents where they talk about a private police force nationwide run by the feds and then a Pentagon police force. And they talk about it out in the future in a few years. It's already there. And I remember, what was it, 6 years ago, it's in my film Matrix of Evil, mainstream news with the governor of Wisconsin said, oh, yes, we're here at the Threat Fusion Center. We can dial in someone's name and track them in real time and listen to them over their phone. And it was actually in the news that his handler said, Governor, don't tell them that. They're tracking you. They dial your name in and listen to you. No warrant, no nothing, totally illegal. And, of course, most police haven't been told this yet. I remember 6, 7 years ago, cops laughing at me on the street going, Alex, are the face scanning cameras? Are the license plate cameras going to get me? I was in the coffee room 3 minutes ago, and they had Fox News on live reporting that, oh, all over the country, we're tracking your license plates now. See, they're just suddenly announcing everything to you. Bobby in Oklahoma, police, then Brandon, Kurt, and others. Go ahead, Bobby. Bobby, you still there?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
How's it going?
It's going all right, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. First thing, I'm a cop, or I have been a cop in a real small town, so I ain't seen none of the real big stuff that's going on, like you say. Want to hit on a couple things and ask you a question. The biggest thing we've seen was right here where I'm at, a lot of people have old vehicles and stuff, and the city and the surrounding cities started an ordinance that if your vehicles weren't tagged sitting in your yard, if you were rebuilding them, if it was just sitting because you're not driving it, whatever, they were going to be able to come onto your property and tow the vehicles off. I know the police chief and everyone real good down here. I went down there and raised a bunch of crap, you know, and pretty much got that took care of. But you was talking about billboards a little bit ago. We got some pretty cool billboards up around here. One of them says, government, now it's personal. We're coming after you, all kinds of, they're on Facebook and everything, too, if you want to get on there and see some of them. They're pretty neat.
Say that again. What do the billboards say?
Now, or government, now it's personal. We're coming after you. And these are right here on the highways and everything.
Amazing. The other police officers you talk to, I mean, are they aware that all over the country they're quietly having the military engage in gun confiscations?
Our biggest thing around here is I got a lot of real close friends that are cops and that ain't cops, and I argue with my buddies. I make them so mad arguing with them about this stuff. I'm new to listening to you, but I've been checking into this stuff for a while, and I get in a lot of arguments. But a lot of them are starting to see what I'm talking about and seeing I'm not messing around with it and seeing that I'm right. But the question I had is, and you might have touched on this before, I'm not sure, but why can't we take the facts and start getting justice done on this through courts or, I mean, whatever?
I agree. Well, a lot of this stuff is getting overturned in court, but the federal government is so illegitimate, they just will continue to do something even after it's been ruled unconstitutional. And so the country is waking up. And if the country does fully wake up, these bankers that have done this are going to go to prison. And so that's what makes them so dangerous, is they're holding us hostage with the border being opened. They're holding us hostage with the financial terrorism, where they can destroy our economy at any time. They're holding us hostage with terrorist groups they've been financing and protecting and opening the door to. You know, they don't just stage terror. They let terrorists attack us. And they've been so they're so dangerous. We have to really grow up and face just how out of control these people are and how sneaky they are. And I know I keep harping on that, but think about it. For 38 years, in every Western nation, there has been a secret UN/military program. It's run by the UN internationally, but the military implements it through universities at the national level, to take babies' blood for a secret database. I mean, right there, this is a creepy, sneaky, evil group, and you use just that one little example that's finally mainstream news, and you expand on it, and then you read the writings of these controllers. I mean, I think the biggest thing to wake people up is you can bring them mainstream articles about GMO sterilizing them, the plastic sterilizing them. You can bring them John P. Holdren, White House science czar documents where he admits they're sterilizing us by design. I mean, what government individual or cop or school teacher or anybody who influences people, who wouldn't wake up to that and say, man, this is really an out-of-control group? God bless you. I appreciate your call, Bobby. Brandon in the military, Kurt in the military, and others. Your calls are coming up, and so is Wayne Madsen. All right, in about 3 minutes, we're going to Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com. Of course, he worked for the National Security Agency, for the Navy and security. He's written for some of the biggest publications in the country, and we're honored to have him joining us because he's got a lot of intel on plans for evacuations in the Gulf. We now see Council on Foreign Relations members and others who are in the news, like the Washington Post, saying that they may have an evacuation of 20 million people when that oil comes ashore. But I wanted to finish up with Brandon and Kurt, both in the military, and then we'll continue into the next hour discussing this headline. New York National Guard units scanned vehicles for gun confiscation. So now they're in Illinois, California, you name it, engaging in gun confiscation, actual operations. And that video from Fox 23 in New York is up on PrisonPlanet.com right now in Paul Joseph Watson's article. So going to Brandon and Kurt. Brandon, give us your take on this.
Yes, Alex, thank you for having me on, and thank you for what you do. I'm going to talk real quick because I know you don't have much time. I was stationed in San Diego. I've purchased all your DVDs. I've showed my command, like a lot of people at my command that I work with. I've woken a lot of people up. My apartment complex there, woken a lot of people up. Now I'm stationed in Virginia. I've woke up my whole entire street. And even my cable man, I mentioned something. I just got home. He was hooking the stuff up. I had my uniform on. He said, thank you. Thank you so much for you and your stature, because I was wearing my uniform. That I would talk, because most people put them down, call them conspiracy theorists and stuff like that.
Well, so, that's their rationalization, but to not defend America. But it's now admitted world governments here. It's now admitted a private banking takeover is happening, and they're creating a new global currency. But you are saying you have had a good response. What percentage of people were favorable on the military base?
Actually, I got about 8 out of 10. Actually, one of my current coworkers actually called me a terrorist himself, and I was like, you don't even get it, but I had help from the other coworkers.
So you're a terrorist because you believe that there's corrupt elements in the government that are taking our freedom? I mean, as a member of the military, you're supposed to defend the republic from enemies foreign and domestic, and you're supposed to follow the Constitution.
Yep. Two quick more things. That cable guy is actually going to come by this week and burn a couple of your discs, copy a couple of your videos so we can show it to his family. And the last one, I'm part of the oil response team, and we're gearing up. We're leaving next week to the Gulf, and a couple other guys are leaving in a couple of weeks to the Gulf. Where they said they're going to issue us desert uniforms, desert camo uniforms. That's kind of dumb since we all have uniforms. For some reason, they're going to do that. I asked about respirators, and they said that was no need. So I'm going to finish up with this. Not only the government has boots on the ground, but you got boots on the ground too, Alex. And I'll definitely keep you guys informed and update.
Absolutely. Wonderful information, Brandon. I mean, very powerful information. We have so many military people calling us, and snipers, intelligence officers, engineers, which makes sense, engineers being sent to the Gulf, regular army. And they're now talking about possible evacuation. We'll be talking to Wayne Madsen here in just a moment about that. But yeah, they're on record. BP is on record saying no respirators are needed. There's no toxic fumes. Because if they admit there's toxic fumes, they would then be liable. Everyone knows there's toxic fumes. The average life expectancy of Exxon Valdez workers is 51 years. The government admits that, from the dioxin and toxins and benzene in the oil and the dispersants. And so a lot of these people have already died or they're in the hospital. And that's why they're saying nobody can videotape. Nobody can talk to these workers. They send them to BP hospitals, BP clinics. I mean, this is one hell of a cover-up. We're going to Wayne Madsen to get his inside scoop on that in just a moment. Finishing up with Kurt, and we're going right to Wayne. Kurt in Deutschland, who's in the Army. Welcome, Kurt.
Hello, sir.
Hello, go ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to tell you, with all the chemicals you talk about on your show, I do a lot of research on them, and one of the things I've been using to sort of open people's eyes a little bit when they don't believe me is the material safety data sheets. All these chemicals, any chemical made, has material safety data sheets made by the companies that make them.
Oh, that's a great point. So for sodium fluoride, you show them the skull and crossbones, the organ failure, the sterilization. For the silicone they put in chicken McNuggets, you can show them the data sheet on that, how deadly it is. For all these chemicals they put in our food and water, you can show them the documents. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, and I think the funniest thing is the reaction you get, because first they start laughing when you start telling them, yeah, sodium fluoride's poisonous. They'll laugh at you, so I come back with the material safety data sheet and put it on the table like, it's poisonous. There you go. But And I just wanted to say there is a lot of people waking up in the military. I'm in the Army. I'm stationed in Ilisheim, Germany. And I have the show on while I'm at work, and I talk to a lot of people about it. And everybody I talk to says that they're not going to take guns from American citizens, from unarmed civilians. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I know I know most of the military and police I talk to say that. The problem is we saw what happened in Katrina. Most of them did follow the orders. So individually they're saying no, but in that group think they're following orders. That's why we need to have this debate and discussion now. But what do you think about this huge long-term covert operation to acclimate not just the troops and the police, but the public as well to accept this? I mean, this is 23 years old. I mean, that's how far back we can prove it. A huge covert gun confiscation preparation program. I mean, that's creepy.
I just don't understand how people, I mean, it's going on all around you. That I try to tell people that. Just look around you when I'm talking to people, when I call the states back home. I'm trying to tell them, like, if you don't believe me, just look around you, read the news, like, read anything. How can you not see this happening right in front of you?
God bless you, Kurt. Good to hear from you. Here's an example. I was driving to my parents this weekend with my children, and I was on 360, and I looked over at the fire department, and I saw military uniforms with police, and with, no, that was about a month ago that I saw the military and the police. This was out by Lake Travis this weekend. I saw the, again, I'm just having a flashback to this. I saw the fire department, military, and police all running around doing some hazmat drill, and I didn't have time to pull over and even look at it because I had that limited time with my family. But that's just an example how it's just going on everywhere. And it seems reasonable to have the military training with police. But then they always have it first, oh, we're doing hazmat drills. And then next, we're going to help you get the guns. And by the way, I have from 1998 the internal Army documents from Fort Hood that are in my film Police State 2 The Takeover, where they admit we are here for bomb disposal and for anti-firearms operations. So this has been going on quietly in the background. Now it's coming to the fore because they know it's almost impossible to defeat something that slowly infiltrates, that slowly takes over. All right, Wayne Madsen of Wayne Madsen Report is our guest. Wayne's always given us really good intel. And we just heard a military man say that he's being deployed from Virginia, regular Army, down to the Gulf. And we now see the Washington Post talking about 20 million evacuated. Wayne Madsen, from your intelligence agency sources in D.C. and from your sources there at the press club, what's the inside scoop?
Well, I reported back in May that there were plans to evacuate millions of people. The first people to be evacuated would be those who have respiratory problems. I know several who are now seeing BP doctors who are saying there's a number of people coming into these BP medical facilities complaining of respiratory ailments, and some have been diagnosed with what's known as chemical pneumonia. I know one person who actually has been diagnosed with that by BP, and now people's pets are beginning to suffer from the same ailment. So we have basically BP engaged in a huge PR operation. They've hired every big time PR firm here in Washington, and I'm surprised that the Washington Post is even hinting at evacuations, because one of the problems we're seeing with the press is that they're editors are contacting their legal departments because these companies that own the media may have vested interests with BP or Halliburton or these other companies involved in this oil disaster. And I think that's a problem. And that's why next week I'm going to the Gulf, because I want to see for myself what's going on down there. There's been reports of journalists and photojournalists being arrested. So I'm going down there. I'll be in Plaquemines Parish. I'll go over to Alabama, Mississippi, and Pensacola Beach to see firsthand what's going on, and I will document with photos and interviews and whatnot what I find out.
Wayne, expanding on that, because you did, over a month and a half ago, you were one of the first people that I saw start talking about how they were going to evacuate the Gulf. I want to flesh that out and talk more about what your sources there in D.C. are telling you, but specifically, all the evidence I have says that this was deliberately blown, that they gave orders to Anadarko and Halliburton that they knew would cause the well to come in early and to spill, and that it is a pretext to sell the carbon tax that BP and Enron founded with Al Gore back in the mid-1990s because their whole program is stalled, and it was meant to be a political distraction for the upcoming attack on Iran. And now you see 70-plus, almost 80 days, it'll be 80 days tomorrow, of them blocking any type of aid or relief or the skimmer ships or the counties or the cities, putting up berms or jetties. That's still ongoing. And so from every angle I look at this, this is a huge diversion. It doesn't matter if it destroys Obama politically. The establishment had already made the decision that his messianic image had been destroyed, and so they were going to basically blame everything on him. But give us your take on that.
Well, what I have a story up today. The company that was hired by BP to do the third party, what's called mudlogging. This is where they analyze all the sediment and rock material incrementally coming up, and this was the deepest borehole ever sunk. This was at 35,055 feet. They knew that what kind of oil was down there. I agree that this was to tie the U.S. over in the event of a war with Iran. We would have enough oil to last this country for up to 8 months. And I think it was a political decision to keep drilling. The Schlumberger engineers said, look, this thing is getting ready to go. There's an internal Schlumberger document that shows that their crew is out there and left that platform, the Deepwater Horizon, a little after 9 o'clock in the morning. The explosion was later on that evening. So we know this from documented evidence that...
Well, yeah, we have the Coast Guard report, but, I mean, we even see conflicting how it was a 30,000-foot well or it was 18,000-feet well. We've seen a lot of different conflicting information.
Well, you know, it's odd. One of the sources that I'm getting is from the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Whoever thought after what they did with Katrina that they would be, revealing inside information. But they have been bypassed by the Coast Guard and BP. FEMA, they're rice bowl protectors. They are part of the Department of Homeland Security, but there are many people there who are absolutely upset that they're not being included in the first of all, the reaction to the disaster itself and all these operations to mitigate the effects of the disaster.
Well, yeah, where does BP? I mean, where does BP get the authority to tell reporters they can't videotape? And now we have the Coast Guard saying federal felonies if you even try to videotape. So they are acting very suspicious.
Oh, yeah. Well, the authority comes from President Obama. I mean, he put this guy, Thad Allen, the commandant of the Coast Guard, in charge as the National Incident Commander. His relationship with BP is very close. I heard a rumor that even before the disaster, he was going to get a job with BP after he retired. Now, he's still, he's Obama's brownie, except I think he's more insidious. Brownie was a total incompetent. Thad Allen knows exactly what he's doing by shilling for BP. He's trying to limit their exposure, and basically his Coast Guard personnel and BP's hired security people, which are a lot of them are Wackenhut, and I also reported that some of the people chasing people away from the beaches are off-duty Alabama troopers in that state. So we have basically BP is running the show. And I think this can be laid right to the doorstep of the White House. The media, I had a report up yesterday that in the Pensacola area, Mediacom, the cable provider, has blocked out the 5:30 local newscasts of the ABC and CBS affiliate because they're doing a lot of in-depth reporting and also blocking out the 6 p.m. national CBS and ABC news reports from the people in Pensacola. People are getting a black screen when they try to tune into the local affiliates and the national networks. And I think this goes to show the extent of the censorship going on as far as this disaster.
Wayne Madsen, I think they have a name for this. This is called martial law, full spectrum dominance. And to have CNN reporting the First Amendment is now dead in the Gulf, and to have BP up to 10 miles in, having police arresting reporters that just ask questions, that's been on the news. I mean, this is martial law in America. And the big issue here is, what happens when that 150 million plus gallons of oil now being driven towards the shore by the tropical storms forming in the Gulf, what happens when a lot of that comes ashore? We know there's already respiratory problems. We know 51 is the average life expectancy for Exxon Valdez workers from the off-gassing and toxins. We know the dispersants are much worse than the oil itself. We know they're so deadly they even eat the hulls of boats, and BP isn't allowing their workers to wear respirators. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, it is. Absolutely. It's probably the worst in many respects, because it's more widespread than Katrina. It's affecting now every Gulf state, of course. And we, every time there's a tar bowl or a tar paddy, whatever they call these things that wash up, the initial response is, well, it's from a passing ship. We've seen this time and time again with the Florida Keys, the Dry Tortugas, now the Texas beaches. And this is all part of an information, a Pentagon-grade influence operation, information warfare, if you will, to limit the news that's coming out of the Gulf. And, you know, it's just a shame that there's not more national media descending on the Gulf. I'm going to do it next week. I don't care if they arrest me or not. That's we've got the First Amendment. I haven't heard that Mr. Obama has abrogated it yet, but he doesn't have the authority to do that.
Well, they're saying in the Associated Press and the San Francisco Chronicle that it's a federal felony, punishable by a decade in jail, if you videotape any of their operations or try to talk to anyone. And so this is the new gulag. And where'd Wayne Madsen go? Well, he tried to be a reporter, and you don't do that in the new Soviet America. I want to talk to you about your sources, your take on what's going to happen when that oil starts really coming ashore, because we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. And speaking of psyops, the way the media is spinning it, that we've got to buy BP shares. We've got to shop at BP and buy their gas, or they'll go bankrupt and can't pay for the emergency, and that Obama is against BP when they bankrolled him. We're going back to Wayne Madsen for the balance of this segment and the next, and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joins us to talk about the economy, the situation with Iran, and a lot more. Of course, he's the father of Reaganomics, former Wall Street Journal editor. Before we go back to Wayne Madsen for the balance of this segment and the next, I wanted to remind listeners that we have an online video bookstore with the best books, the most informative films, to further educate yourself and to educate others. And now people are really ready to be awakened, whether it's Invisible Empire, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, that documents all the FEMA camps and the gun confiscation plans, how America is being slowly integrated into this police state system. It's all available at InfoWars.com. We're offering a new video, The Secret of Oz, by the great filmmaker Bill Still, who made The Money Masters. It's been a decade plus since he's made a new film. And you can get The Secret of Oz discounted with The Money Masters as well if you want to get the combo or get it individually at InfoWars.com. And we have a new special where you get two T-shirts, Patriot T-shirts, like Legalize Freedom, or, you know, Pro Second Amendment or Don't Tread on Me shirts. And you can get a free Patriot ball cap with InfoWars.com or Don't Tread on Me or Come and Take It in your choice when you get two T-shirts. That's all available at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Okay, and your purchases also make this broadcast possible. Going back to Wayne Madsen and TheWayneMadsenReport.com. Okay, Wayne, specifically, what's the word on what they're planning to do when the oil starts coming ashore, A, and B, why would Obama block the counties and states from protecting themselves with berms and jetties?
Well, I think what's going to happen if we start seeing these tropical storms, hurricanes, picking up this toxic soup in the Gulf and dumping it far inland, we're going to see the poisoning of the freshwater supplies inland, the streams, the creeks, the reservoirs, the lakes, etc. And that's going to extend this disaster even further. As far as Obama, I think Obama is not acting as president of the United States. He's taking his orders from BP, and We had the Queen of England here. Everybody was in the media fawning over her. You know, BP stands for British Petroleum. I saw, maybe I missed it, but I saw no protesters in New York where she visited. It was signed, you know, protesting the fact that one of her big companies from her nation has basically...
Well, she's one of the biggest... She's one of the biggest shareholders. She's a eugenicist.
Right.
She's a globalist. She's a carbon tax monster who promotes all this tyranny. And everyone's fawning over some demonic, inbred old woman that our ancestors fought a war against. I mean, it's a disgusting joke. And that's a good point that you rave about Queen Elizabeth II. I mean, what a fraud. So you were one of the first to say evacuations would happen, or that was the info you were getting. Now we do see the media starting to promote it. So, again, what is Halliburton and BP and others and all these companies going to do as that oil comes in?
Well, I think we're going to see the censorship and the PR spin continue. We'll get some reports, obviously, through the blockade, but I would note that my report on the evacuations was picked up by some websites, and just in the last week, they printed retractions. Obviously, they got called by, you know, BP's big PR bigwigs and told to retract or at least amend the original story. What BP is doing is trying to limit the exposure of this disaster, and now we have them shopping around for investment money in places like Libya. They're going to Gaddafi to get bailed out. And other countries. So I think that's what we're seeing there. And where is the Environmental Protection Agency? This Lisa Jackson, who came out of New York, who's the administrator, we've seen nothing from the EPA. So the Coast Guard, the EPA, all very silent or complicit with BP.
Well, this is globalism. This is corporate governance. Back in 70 seconds, five more minutes with Wayne Madsen. Then Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joins us to talk about a host of issues. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've reached the halfway point in this worldwide broadcast. We have Chris Emery joining us in studio, one of the leading researchers on Oklahoma City, to look back at that government bombing operation used to demonize conservatives and patriots as they gear up to stage more terror attacks on themselves as a pretext to attack the American people. Meanwhile, a New York National Guard unit scanned vehicles for gun confiscation in the capital of New York, Albany. Amazing report out of Fox News. News 23, we have a detailed breakdown of the history of this and how they're slowly acclimating people for full-bore martial law. But now it's really reaching the boiling point at PrisonPlanet.com. We got 4 minutes left with Wayne Madsen. Wayne, other tidbits here, because, I mean, the statistics of the 51-year life expectancy of Exxon Valdez workers and the statistics I saw, the government admits it was the dispersants they believe that were the main thing that really caused the autoimmune diseases and cancers to go off the charts. They're using a lot more of this stuff this time than they did in Alaska and a lot more populated areas. How does BP think they're going to get away with this? And
Well, they're going to buy judges, and we already see them judge shopping for these civil suits. We see how they try to get these cases bundled and put them under Lynn Hughes in Houston, who has a conflict of interest. He takes money from the oil industry. Martin Feldman, the one in New Orleans who overturned the moratorium on drilling, he's got ties to the oil industry. And Mark Fuller in Montgomery, Alabama, is a part owner of Oceaneering International, which is supplying those deep submersible robots that we've seen taking the photos of the oil gusher in the Gulf. What people need to do is put pressure on their members of Congress to have these three guys impeached, or at least force them to recuse themselves if they're impeached. Just Obama might try to put another pro-oil guy in their place, but filibuster that, don't take any action. Make them go to other judges who don't have any ties to the oil industry. At least these three judges, and probably more, are tied to the oil industry, and they need to be removed, recused, or impeached.
All right, here's my last question on that issue. We know Obama is one of the main minions of BP. We know Rahm Emanuel had his apartment for many years paid for illegally. That's coming out in the Blagojevich trial there in D.C. where you live. We know that they set up cap and trade with Enron. We know this is a top New World Order globalist organization. And then we have the media acting like Obama has his foot on their neck. Is that part of the PR ruse to try to not have it come out that Obama is basically on the payroll?
Well, yeah, of course, Obama entertained the BP executives of the White House and then announced there was this $20 billion cap on the damages, and that's nowhere near to what this is going to cost. I think in terms of over $1 trillion, maybe closer to $2 trillion, but what price can you put on the Gulf of Mexico and the other oceans that could be affected by this disaster?
And now they say it may just go on forever. Now they're not even trying to talk about fixing it. It's just, this is the way it is now. And
well, that's right. And the people who are complacent up here, it's a matter of time before this gets into the Chesapeake, the largest estuary in North America, and we're going to see that. They're already taking making emergency plans in North Carolina when this hits the Outer Banks. So this is not going to be limited to the Gulf of Mexico. And when it hits the Grand Banks off Newfoundland, the richest fishing grounds that North America and Europe depend on, then we're going to see, basically you can just kiss off seafood as a staple in more than one.
Well, that's the issue. As they say, there's probably 2 billion gallons in that one hole alone. And it does go out around Florida and up into the Grand Banks after it leaves the East Coast. It goes up there into the Arctic. And it's just horrible. Wayne Madsen, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate your time with us. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
For the balance of the hour, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Wall Street Journal editor, the head of policy, Department of Treasury, the father of Reaganomics, syndicated columnist and best-selling author, is our guest to talk about a host of issues. But the main one is the gear up for the attack on Iran. More and more it's being green-lighted by the Israelis, the U.S. government, and when he thinks it may happen, how it can be stopped, but what will happen if they hit Iran from his research. But before I do that, I mentioned earlier at the end of the last hour, this video talking about solutions, The Secret of Oz by the maker of The Money Masters, and we have that film available as well, by Bill Still. He's been all over the world, Iceland, you name it, where they're fighting back against these people. And this has some great solutions, not a gold-backed currency, because the bankers pretty much dominate that, but a government-controlled fiat system, and basically how to bring these people to justice. The Secret of Oz, Solutions for a Broken Economy. Very important film. We sold out of this last week. We just got more in today. So get your orders in for The Secret of Oz. We have a new special running for a limited time where you can order the new films we produced, Police State for the Rise of FEMA, and of course Invisible Empire, and get a copy of Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, free. We have several other choices you can make on Infowars.com. You can look for the banners up on the site to take you to the subsection of the shopping cart that has those specials. And your purchase of the books and videos not only gives you a tool to wake people up and to inform yourself to a higher level, but also supports this transmission and the important work we're doing here. And I couldn't do it without all of you out there. And speaking of support, PrisonPlanet.tv, we simulcast at least part of the radio show. Starting next week, I'm going to simulcast the entire radio show from there on out via streaming video with the four cameras shooting here at PrisonPlanet.tv. And we put an exclusive PrisonPlanet.tv video up where I sent my guys, Rob Dew and Jason Douglas, to Chicago, where they let them into the drills, taking over sports stadiums, using them as FEMA camps, Polish troops training to, quote, take on American terrorists and for gun confiscation. That 25-minute video is up on PrisonPlanet.tv right now for members. And we have this report out from Fox 23 in Albany, New York. New York National Guard unit scanned vehicles for gun confiscations. They drive you through. If they find a gun, they take you to jail. I mean, this is on the news now. So the slow creeping martial law is just intensifying. And before we get into the economy and the oil spill and the Iran situation, because as Roberts predicted a few years ago, when governments and banks get in trouble, they launch new wars. Let me ask him about the police state, because he writes about that. Dr. Roberts, good to have you back with us.
Glad to be with you, Alex.
There he is, joining us via video Skype. You've written a lot about the police state, but now we have the military more and more on the streets of America, really violating posse comitatus. What's your take on that?
Well, I suppose, Alex, they just want to make sure that we forget about the Constitution and our rights. I think they realize that they've created a mess for us, both internationally and domestically, both militarily and economically. And they want to be sure that the people just sort of give up and accept their fate.
What do you think the American people's response to this should be?
Well, I think they should get very angry and be very well armed and very well organized. You know, one of the problems, Alex, as you know very well, is that so many Americans get confused about what patriotism is. And they, so many of them think that being patriotic means supporting the government. They don't understand that it means supporting the Constitution and that the government is always an enemy of the Constitution. And so the people, I think they're going to have to suffer quite a bit before they ever wake up and realize that the founding fathers were right, that your worst enemy is always your government, because it alone has the power to break you and control you. So I think we're a long way from the vast majority of American people coming to that realization.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. People are going to have to get hurt a lot worse than they've already been abused. And boy, I tell you, I read Bloomberg reporting 46 states are on the verge of going bankrupt. Federal regulators are, quote, ordering outside of law for large pension fund managers to, quote, invest in failed banks. Suddenly, CNBC reports that the graphs mirror the 1929-1933 depression graph. The New York Times says third depression. The London Telegraph says depression, that all the numbers show depression. This is pretty scary to have the mainstream media now going from denying we were even in a recession to saying that we may be in a depression.
Yes, it is kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, you know, it seems it was just the other day that we had recovery. As you know, I've said for some time that there's no recovery because there's nothing left to recover. Keep in mind that our pensions, or what remains of them, are in grave danger now, because if we do continue into a depression, the government's budget deficit will become huge. I mean, it's already almost half of the current operating budget. So if you're having to borrow half of your current operating budget, you can see what happens if the economy gets worse and the tax revenues fall off more. And so what I suspect they will do, Alex, they will tell all the pension fund managers, the money managers, that they have to purchase government bonds, that they have to finance the government by purchasing the treasuries and bonds. Now, of course, with the situation being as bad as it is, the bonds won't be worth very much. And so that's how they will finish off our pensions. Alternatively, they will simply say, well, we're going to have a capital levy on your pensions. We're going to take a certain percentage of it to make up for the fact that it's been accumulating tax-free, and then they will use that money to finance the government, you know, for a while. I mean, that money runs out. They can only spend it once. So people don't really quite know how bad it's going to be. And you can see that all the stimulus programs, despite the massive size, have failed to alleviate the unemployment, and apparently have failed to stop the downward descent of the economy. So if you have the largest budget deficit in history and the lowest interest rates, and they can't stop an economic downturn, then you don't really have any policy left to use. So I think we're headed into a very serious situation that will, as I've said many times, undermine the dollar as the reserve currency, and therefore undermine our ability to import, which will affect a whole range of product availability.
Well, sir, that brings me to my next question. We have, of course, the New York Times, CNN, and others last week coming out and saying, oh, the UN says get rid of the dollar as the world reserve currency, have a SDR, special drawing rights, and that we'll still have the currencies of the world, but we're going to devalue those, and then all that will be left is this new bank-to-bank thing backed up by the carbon tax, and that it will be basically a global government run by private banks. So this is out in the open, and then it's clear that's why they're wrecking things by design, is to force us onto the wreckage of our society that will basically be this new global government. And, you know, like you said last time when you were on this about a month ago, that clearly the government is now trying to destroy America by design. Can you speak to the SDR, this move to a new level of the Ponzi scheme?
Well, Alex, the SDR is a basket of currencies. It's made up of other currencies, including the dollar. In fact, the dollar is the largest component of the SDR. So I think when China and Russia brought that up, they were simply trying to point out that the United States was in enough financial difficulty that maybe the puppet states in Europe would distance themselves a little bit and stop supporting such an aggressive American policy in the rest of the world, and not only toward Iran, but it's also toward Russia. You know, we have Hillary Clinton in Georgia the other day rebuking Russia for occupying Georgia. Well, they don't occupy Georgia. So I think that that is not meant as a serious solution to the problem. And I think when the UN report raises it, it's really meant to call attention to the fact that there isn't a stable dollar, and that the whole world relies on the dollar as reserve currency, and that the behavior of the United States government running up the massive budget deficits with wars they can't afford, with bank bailouts they can't afford, and running up massive trade deficits by offshoring the industry and the professional service jobs, that I think it's directed at calling attention to the fact that American leadership is not long for this world, that it's run out because the resource base for it has run out.
Doctor, when we come back, let's talk about how you see this unfolding then, and how an attack on Iran factors in, and why the establishment seems to think in their own writings that a large global war, as the Rand Corporation said 2 years ago, would somehow prop up the Anglo-American Dutch slash Israeli alliance, and what you see happening to the U.S. economy. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
I was sitting in traffic listening to the
radio. Folks, we sit here and we analyze this coldly every day. But when I'm sitting back, you know, at 11 o'clock at night reading a book, about to turn the light out and go to bed, it just really dawns on me We really do have a bunch of Ponzi scheme crooks that wrecked the most wealthy, powerful, wonderful nation in history. And we've gone from the apple of the world's eye, the light of liberty, to the country that promotes all these illegal wars. We've just basically invaded Costa Rica with 44 ships. It's got their country in an uproar. We're a nation that promotes torture, secret arrest, and it's only getting worse. Dr. Roberts, as we went to break, I threw out the question, how do you see this unfolding, and how does an attack on Iran play into it from your historical research?
Well, Alex, they want to attack Iran for several reasons, and I suppose the most important is this ideology of American hegemony. And this is the trouble with the one world stuff. You know, it's, if the Americans talk about one world, what they mean is an American world. And so if you look at the Middle East, what's the remaining independent countries? That is, what countries are not American puppet states? And we have only Iran and Syria. Now, the reasoning, I'm told from the people that I still know in Washington, is that Syria they can ignore, because if they knock off Iran, Syria will simply voluntarily become an American puppet state. And so they're after Iran. They would love to have one of their color revolutions and get rid of it without military means. But they want to get rid of it at any cost. And you can see that's the reason for all the years of demonization and lies. And most recently, when the United States somehow got the Security Council of the UN to go along with sanctions. What did the Americans do? The minute they got the UN sanctions, Washington then added their own unilateral sanctions.
Which Ron Paul has pointed out on the House floor, and he's read the international law and our national law. That's an act of war. And now in Germany, they're not fueling Iranian aircraft. I mean, this is insane.
Yes, and but you see what Washington is doing. It's using the UN sanctions as a basis for its own. Well, the Russians said, you've double-crossed us. And the media will never differentiate between the UN sanctions, which are not so severe, and the American sanctions that have been added to them. And the ships that we have dispatched, allegedly, to stop Iranian ships on the high seas and inspect their cargoes, another act of war, they're not going to simply be enforcing the UN sanctions. So we've double-crossed the Security Council again, and we're hoping that some sort of incident will come out of this so that we can have some justification. I don't know what happened to the... So we can have some kind of a justification for the attack on Iran. Now, if you go back to Bush's speech, it was January 29, 2002, when he says there's this axis of evil. There's Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. And he sort of brought together these three countries, which have nothing in common. North Korea is the last communist country that's isolated in the Far East. Iran and Iraq had just been fighting an eight-year war, a million casualties.
One is secular, one is Shiite. They're at each other's throats.
Well, one was Sunni, one Shiite, who've been at odds since the 7th century. Nothing in common, and yet Bush's neoconservative word crafters created this notion of a common enemy that we face. So I think, you know, what they are hoping is they can somehow come up with a color revolution, that with all this pressure on, that the forces within Iran that we've been subsidizing will somehow come out on top to avoid the conflict with America. But if not, I think they're prepared to try to have some sort of a major military knockout blow, because anything less than that, if Iran responds, they probably could block the oil flows from the Persian Gulf.
All right, stay there, Doc. Long segment coming up. I want you to continue to break that down. And when we come back, I'm going to also get into the fact that this is an act of war, saying they're going to board their ships. And Iran has said, you start boarding our ships, we're going to board your ships. And that's exactly what Cheney wanted back in 2007. It came out in New Yorker magazine, was to actually attack our own ships and blame it on Iran. So we may see a false flag in the mix here as well. We'll be right back. Moment. We're going to open the phones up for any financial questions you have for him about the market, about bonds, about what's happening with the dollar, about the Iran situation, the oil spill. We'll take a few calls for him. 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. But first, I want to tell you about some of the sponsors that have made today's radio broadcast possible. And, of course, one of them is eFoodsDirect.com. Until July 14th, they've got a special where any order of storable, high-quality food that they offer is free shipping, a very substantive discount at eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. And speaking of high-quality food, the Inner Health Botanicals Superfood, the Inner Food, ENERfood.com, Inner Health Botanicals, a fantastic company that's been supporting us for years, have been providing amazing products for the past 5 years that give you the perfect solution to keeping your body healthy. Try their Inner Food with 20 organic ingredients full of dense nutrition that gives you energy and keeps you well. It even won the best superfood of 2009 from our friend Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Try their NutriCafe amazing organic coffee infused with herbal extracts to boost your immune system. Now, that's something you don't see in store shelves every day. That's innerfood.com or give them a call right now at 866-762-9238. To see all the available discounts for Alex Jones listeners, simply click on the banner at InfoWars.com and take a look at all their fine products. Innerfood.com or 866-762-9238. Okay, going back to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, so you were finishing up with Iran and talking about trying to get our ships in there in their own waters, boarding all of their ships, saying they're not allowed to have fuel, they're not allowed to have any finished goods. I mean, this is a classic act of siege, of war, and the Iranians are saying they're going to resist. I remember Bush 5 years ago admitted in a White House press release that they had Al-Qaeda-connected terror groups inside Shiite Iran staging terror attacks. Obama admits that's continuing. I mean, I'm not saying Iran is run by saints, but they haven't attacked us, and they have put up with a lot. I mean, our criminal government admits they're in there bombing the daylights with terrorists inside Iran, and Iran lays there and takes it. But I can't see Iran putting up with its ships being boarded. I mean, and how is our media going to spin that? How dare them Iranians? They wouldn't let our military board their ships. I mean, is there no end to the evil that this country won't engage in?
Apparently not. I mean, look, the Israelis just got away with boarding the aid flotilla to Gaza, killing all those people, and nothing has happened. Once again, we protected them diplomatically. So if we let them do it, we probably figure we can do it too. So I don't think, you know, the real question is, why does the rest of the world go along with this? Now, my answer to the Europeans is they're all American puppet states. We've bought their leadership, and they're our puppets. But why Russia and China? For some reason, Russia has never delivered the sophisticated missile air defense that they contracted with Iran to supply. And they haven't delivered it because we keep telling them not to. So why does Russia allow us to interfere with their contract with Iran? And then look at China. China has massive energy investments in Iran, and China's economy is still going gangbusters. They need energy. And our plan for dealing with China is to cut them off from energy. So why would China go along with this? And it seems to me that those are questions that I don't know the answer to. But the rest of the world is somehow complicit in this. And it makes no sense because the world knows that Bill Clinton lied about the Serbian, Kosovo, Albanian dispute. We know that Bush lied about Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. We have the atomic, International Atomic Energy Agency reports from the inspectors on the ground that there's no diversion of enriched uranium from the nuclear energy program in Iran to a weapons program. We have all 16 American intelligence agencies last year issuing a unanimous report that Iran abandoned its nuclear weapons program in 2003, that was 7 years ago. Why doesn't somebody ask the president, how do you know they have a weapons program when your own intelligence agency says they don't? How do you know they have weapons when all the Atomic Energy Agency reports say they don't? How can they possibly have weapons when your own authorities say they're not capable of enriching uranium to that extent? No one asks these questions. Nobody in the media asks them.
And Iran has tried on, what, three separate occasions to give their uranium under UN supervision to the French, to the Turks, to the Brazilians, to enrich it where it's at a level that can't be used in weapons. And that only enrages the United States and Israel more. I mean, it's just a fact. We are the bad guys in this. We've overthrown Iran's government twice in the last century. And it's just outrageous that they're positioning us this. But from every expert I talk to, Ray McGovern, top CIA analyst, and many others, and just common sense in studying the region, there's close to 70 million Iranians. They haven't been under siege for a decade plus like Iraq. They have high-tech weapons. They do have sleeper cells, as any large nation does in other countries. This is the perfect storm. They attack Iran. They won't have to stage terror attacks once the war's on. Iran will strike back. It'll be called terrorism. And the system is going to use this crisis as a pretext to crack down on domestic populations in the U.S., grab pension funds, and do all the other things they do when we're distracted by a war. And so this is good for the system to start a war. And a lot of people like to rally around the flag when we are blowing the hell out of some poor group of brown people. And so I see the system going ahead with it. And all the indicators we've got out of Israel and out of the U.S. government is they are moving towards a full green light on this. What's your take on the green light and when you think it's coming and what the aftermath of this war will be?
Well, Alex, I don't think anyone knows when it's coming. I don't even think the people planning it know that because they're looking for some sort of rationale, excuse, opportunity. And the outcome, I don't think, is known either. If I were the Iranians, I wouldn't sit there and wait for the attack. I mean, why respond after you've been badly hurt? Once I knew the attack was coming and nothing could be done about it, if I were the Iranians, I simply would take out the American aircraft carriers. I would let everything that I had fall on Israel, and I would start it. Because I wouldn't sit there and then respond with whatever I happen to have left after I've had a massive attack. You know, the other day, the head of the University of London's Center for International Affairs said that they're gearing up for the total destruction of Iran. You see, we've got troops in 10 countries surrounding Iran. We've stockpiled all these bunker buster bombs, apparently. We've even moved tactical nuclear weapons.
Diego Garcia.
Yes. And so I don't think that they would be doing all of this just in order to scare Iran or pressure them.
No, this is a full court press, just like before the invasion of Iraq both times. And you're right. They've said that if Iran fights back in any way under Bush and Obama's continued this doctrine, that they will use nuclear weapons on them. So if Iran lifts a hand to protect themselves, the media is going to scream like it's the end of the world. And yes. I guess Americans are going to sit there while their cities are being nuked feeling powerful and running American flags out on flagpoles. Meanwhile, the same global corporate crime syndicate is destroying America's future. So I guess in a way, if Americans go along with this war, I'm going to have to say we're cursed and we deserve for the bankers to rape us. But I don't deserve to be raped by them. So what do you do as an individual living in Nazi Germany?
Yes, you be quiet. Listen, Alex, you know, I think that if they do strike Iran in some horrendous way, one possibility would be that all of the colonized puppet state Muslims would feel so absolutely wronged and powerless that they could possibly overthrow the American puppets. You might see revolution in Egypt, in Jordan. You might see it even in Saudi Arabia. It's entirely possible that we would simply be going too far and undermine all the puppet regimes that we have already established there. So there are many potential downsides to this that don't appear to figure in the calculations of the Americans or the Israelis. And, of course, if it disrupts oil in any significant way, that would be really detrimental. Doctor,
doesn't Israel losing in Lebanon 3.5 years ago and having other setbacks, I mean, doesn't that give them some pause before they just head us into World War III?
No. You see, if they get rid of Iran, then there's no one to support Hezbollah and Hamas. And so that's the other reason we didn't get to for the attack on Iran. It gets rid of all the support for the forces that block Israel from stealing all of Palestine and southern Lebanon. See, Israel is chomping at the bit to simply evict the few remaining Palestinians and to seize southern Lebanon.
Yeah, they want the Golan and that water supply.
They want the water supply from southern Lebanon. So that's their stake in this war. They want Iran out of it. Because then once Hezbollah uses up whatever weapons it has, it wouldn't have any more. And there would be no way to stop them from simply...
How does Iran get the weapons in? Through Syria?
I don't know.
Why doesn't Iran just make a deal with Israel and have a peace treaty? I mean, because Iran is looking down the barrel of a nuclear bomb.
I don't know that either. You know, as I've said, there's so many imponderables, and they're not discussed. I mean, why does Russia stand aside?
Well, you said earlier Russia has now been betrayed. We know they've been trying to make deals with Barry Sataro, known as Barack Obama, and that he's broken those. And then separately, we see the fear-mongering about these 11 Russian spies. You notice the Russian spies, and now Russia admits their spies is want to do a swap, weren't infiltrating the government, because that's ceremonial. They were infiltrating Harvard and Wall Street, because that's who runs this country.
Well, you know, they're not accused of spying. They haven't done any spying. They're accused of not registering as a foreign agent. But, of course, AIPAC doesn't register as a foreign agent either. So, I'm very suspicious of that whole thing and what it's about. Clearly, it's not a case of spying because there's no spy charges brought against them. And
they're just agents of influence, which is just what business is.
But we don't even know they're that. And it's also suspicious to me, Alex, that one of them confessed so quickly. It's almost like he's put there to confess. So maybe this...
Yeah, like they rolled up a double agent.
That's it. So maybe this is just another way of pressuring Russia to keep them sort of on the defensive and sidelined while we proceed with the roll-up of Iran. Maybe that's the explanation, because it was very strange to have the Russian president here meeting with Obama in the White House, and the Russians are falling all over themselves trying to have good relations with us, despite us putting missile bases in Poland and everywhere else surrounding them and turning Georgia into...
There's new press reports of more than 10 U.S. bases being covertly built all around Russia, and this hoax. I've had neocons say that I'm a liar and that Russia did attack Georgia. I mean, even the CNN had to admit later, and Fox, that indeed Georgia had attacked South Ossetia, and that was all a hoax. I mean, it's incredible the baloney the American people are fed. I mean, I'm not for Russia. I'm an American. But I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that Russia attacked Georgia. I mean, it's like saying the moon's made out of cheese.
Right. But that's right. And the real question, though, you see, the European Union knows that. The European Union has made it clear that the Georgians, spurred on by the Americans, initiated that war. So why does the European Union continue to support the expansion of NATO? Why does it support the American war in Afghanistan? You know, they have European Union troops under the NATO flag fighting our battles in Afghanistan. So why? See, the real question is, why do all these countries who've got nothing to gain from this and potentially a tremendous amount to lose, why are they giving us the green light?
We know why. We know why. And you know, that's one reason that the director was snapped up and put in prison decades after his reported crime is, if you've seen the movie Ghost Rider, it's actually based on what's been declassified, that Tony Blair was MI6. And we know there's been a 50-year covert Western program to get the major leaders of Europe elected or compromised, and that much of Europe is run by U.S., British, / Israeli puppets. And so that's why Europe goes along, because most of their leaders are actually U.S. intelligence.
That's probably the case, or certainly on the payroll. But why Russia and China? I mean, you know, China is a very powerful state. They're our banker. Why do they...
Because they made sweetheart deals, as you know, in the 70s to get our industry. And so they're so deeply in bed with corporate interest that they just can't get out of bed.
But they have it now. They've got it. They don't need that anymore. They've got it. So maybe it's just they have a very short run time horizon on this particular issue. Or maybe it's just tradition. Maybe they just... going along, you know, for a century after the Roman Empire fell, the little principalities that grew up, they still put Caesar's head on their coins because otherwise they thought people wouldn't trust the money. So maybe it's something like that everyone thinks that we're a superpower. We're not a superpower. Look, we can't finance our own wars. We can't finance our own government.
But we can hold everybody hostage with 50,000 nuclear weapons and bioweapons.
Maybe.
And you know, they got a lot of secret weapons as well. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's like a bank robber with a gun to your head. And, of course, the very same bank robber's robbing us, but a percentage of Americans still think it's patriotic to kill people. X.com. Tell you, we got like 5-6 people here making a Oklahoma City bombing film, and I've interviewed most of them in the past before. Great researchers. We'll try to get all three of them in here off and on during the next hour that's coming up. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts will be with us for 5 minutes in the next hour. I want to get to Jeff, Damon, George, Kyle, Scott while he's on with us in these next two short segments. But real fast, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, what's your take on the Gulf oil spill and the media being told they can't film or interview people and federal felonies, and now the Coast Guard is our boss on land? It seems like any excuse government gets, it just stomps all over our rights, like Katrina with the gun confiscation.
That's right. I mean, what else can you say about it? And what is going on that they don't want us to know? It's amazing. I don't know. I don't have any answer for that. I suppose they're just getting us used to accept illegal orders. You know, it's like if you fly, you get searched without warrants. They're just getting us used to living in a police state, I suppose. I don't know what else it is.
No, that's it. It's disgusting. We've got to say no. Let's talk to Jeff in New Hampshire. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. How you doing? I just want to say right off the bat that you are the voice of our founding fathers in the 21st century.
Well, thank you. I try my best, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, basically, you know, listening to you talk to Dr. Roberts, I had a question. You know, being someone who has been educated, you know, has a degree in history, I did a bit of research, and I found that the 16th Amendment wasn't properly ratified. I mean, here in New Hampshire, there's no record that the state even ratified it at all.
No, I've looked into that. I mean, it really wasn't ratified. Another fraud, another hoax to give us the income tax, and we built this country without it. What's your question for Roberts?
Well, what I'm wondering is you know, with the fact that our government is a business, and, you know, a business is there, you know, getting paid for their services, here is our government not acting in our best interest, you know, where the 16th Amendment is an illegal amendment, you know, because of Secretary of State Knox saying...
Look,
hey,
it's more than that. It's Declaration of Independence. We got an out-of-control crook government. I appreciate your call. What do we do about that? I mean, we have the Declaration of Independence. It's not just our right. It's our duty to remove this government and reform it as we see fit. But they've been quietly preparing to call us terrorists ahead of this collapse. They were getting ready for it. It's completely premeditated. I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, what do you do when you know you have a lawless government, Dr. Roberts?
Well, you know, if you and I know, we can't do much. We can try to tell other people before they arrest us. If everybody knew and didn't like it, then they could revolt. And I think that's where we are. If we want to get rid of this lawless government, it's not going to happen at the ballot box, and it's not going to happen because we get a third party or libertarians. If it happens at all, it's because people catch on and do something about it. And by then, as you say, they may be too powerful force to do anything about it. The caller is appealing to the law. He's saying, look, this income tax is it's not legal. It wasn't ratified. It's still unconstitutional, and yet we've had it for almost 100 years. And how can that be? Well, we don't have any part of the Constitution. We don't have habeas corpus. You know, we have laws against torture, American laws. They just, it's lawlessness. There's nothing new.
No, I mean, that's it. We don't just have a corrupt government, folks. We have a premeditated, lawless criminal group that is breaking and violating laws to set precedents. They are dominating us. They are enforcing their will of evil upon us. Back in 70 seconds, we'll jam in a few more calls with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. We'll be right back. Best-selling author of The Tyranny of Good Intentions, former Wall Street Journal editor, father of Reaganomics, head of policy, Department of Treasury under Reagan, is our guest. We're just jamming in a few calls here at the tail end. Damon in South Carolina, quick question or comment for Dr. Roberts.
Yes, sir. I have one comment and one question. I'll give the comment quick. I think one of the reasons why Iran is not really fighting back yet is at least some people, I'm sure, in the government have bought into the whole martyrdom situation, and that if they are sacrificed, at least the rest of Islam and the world will rise up and avenge them, so to speak. That's one thought that I have. The question I have is this. My wife is from the former Soviet Union, the Republic of Belarus, and she tells me the story. I'm 37. She's 36. She tells me a story that when she was younger and perestroika happened, and basically her parents' life savings went from having enough money to, you know, buy a lot to not enough money to even buy a bicycle almost overnight. I mean, it was a very short period of time. And my question to Dr. Roberts is, I thought about buying gold, but, you know, if you have what, you know, Roosevelt did or what our government did in the, you know, almost a century ago where, you know, you have a crisis and they come in and they start calling in all the gold.
You have to ignore that at that point. Nothing's bulletproof. Nothing. I mean, you get in your car every day, you may die. It's the safest thing out there, history has shown, but nothing's safe. Dr. Roberts, comments on that?
Yeah, that's right. In Roosevelt's days, the Americans were extremely gullible and even more naive than today. But there's always silver. You know, if you start going to a grocery store with gold, you'll have, you know, bad times arrive. You'll have trouble getting change. And you may find armed people waiting on you when you leave the store. So I think everybody should have some sort of precious metal capability to see them through a period in which the money could be inflated away.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's bulletproof. Nothing is a silver bullet. The closest thing to a silver bullet is silver, pun intended. But no, I mean, that's the point in this tyranny. Nothing is safe. The only thing that's safe is liberty and freedom. That's the engine of everything good, Damon. I appreciate your call. George in Connecticut, last caller for Dr. Roberts. Go ahead.
Dr. Roberts, a quick insight and also a quick question. I wanted to tell you about the Chinese situation. They're basically waiting for us to make our move so they can basically pick up the pieces from us destroying ourselves. I spent several years in the Orient, and I know the mind of these people. And I think even people like Dubinsky and Kissinger basically are using them as a back door. If this whole world falls apart, they're going to use that as a place to...
Oh, I agree. The globalists have already moved their second base to China. That's a great point. Did you have a question?
Yes, the question is, why doesn't Turkey maybe get in between the United States and say, look, you can't do this. The UN doesn't allow this. We didn't agree on this.
Well, Turkey has now said if Israel doesn't apologize, they're breaking off ties. Good points. Let's get Dr. Roberts' take on that.
Well, you know, Turkey is a NATO member, and so they're kind of got a foot in both camps. I think the Chinese may be betting that we will overreach and destroy ourselves. But they're taking an enormous risk because we intend to deny them access to energy. And so they should see that as a greater threat than they do.
Well, that's right. They're encircling China, but then also allowing them to get oil, but to only buy it from the Western power bloc. And the stated policy is to encircle Russia and China and down the road have a war with them. And, I mean, well, how do these lunatic neocons that still run things sneak attack Russia, and now it comes out Cheney wanted to have nuclear war? I mean, these people are mentally ill at their foundation.
Yes. When I was in Washington in the government and running around with big shots, the neoconservatives, they very much desired to have a war with Russia. They wanted to defeat the Soviet Union militarily, and they got very angry when Reagan worked out a deal with Gorbachev and ended the Cold War. They just got very angry. They didn't like that.
Amazing. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, we got to have you back on and talk about that piece of history that you witnessed in the future. God bless you. Thanks for the time.
Peace be with you.
You bet. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. Got guest in studio.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We've got 52 minutes left in broadcast today, Wednesday, July 7th, 2010. And I know that the Oklahoma City bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah building was 15 years ago, but it's more important than ever because on all these television documentaries, they're invoking it again and saying that people that are against the New World Order and people that are against the federal government taking over and healthcare, they're terrorists. They're going to kill you. And Alex Jones wants violence. He wants to kill you when we actually call for the opposite. And so it's clear that they're getting ready to play that card. The Hatari, I even 7 months before they got busted, said they've got infiltrators in there. And it turned out they had two. The feds have covered up who they are. But I think the fact that people exposed that there were some fake arrests there with at least two of the nine people caused that trial to fall apart. And the judge said this was politically motivated and just a PR stunt, kind of like Waco. Yeah, they were doing some weird stuff, most of it exaggerated. They could have picked up Vernon Howe, a.k.a. David Koresh, any day. He went into town every day, had an auto parts repair shop 2 miles away. They wanted that big stunt, and that came out, of course, in the ATF documents. And then that really blew up in their face. So the feds bombed Oklahoma City. And the evidence is just 100% in triplicate, up one side and down the other, that the feds bombed Oklahoma City. And people who work for the federal government need to realize that. None of you are safe. So we're going to be talking to some very interesting individuals. And We've got two of them in here now. Towards the end, I may try to get one of the other fellows in here who I've interviewed before, who's got great connections and research between Oklahoma City 15 years ago and 9/11 9 years ago. So that's coming up. But in other news, this is the type of stuff that comes across my desk every day. This is out of the Korea Times, and it says, can good emerge from BP oil spill? And this is by Kenneth Rogoff. And Rogoff was the chief economist of the International Monetary Fund, which is openly trying to set up world government. And he says the fact that BP oil spill is on the cusp of becoming a political game changer of historic proportions, we may get a carbon tax long advocated by a broad spectrum of economists. It is a generalized version of a gas tax that hits all forms of carbon emissions, including from coal and natural gas. In principle, one could create a cap-and-trade system of qualitative restrictions and accomplishments, much the same thing, and it seems to be more palatable to politicians who will jump through hoops to avoid using the word tax. So the World Bank and the former IMF head, because it's one group, they're basically saying we're going to get a carbon tax out of that. Interesting little tidbit. But don't worry, we got thousands of emails with the heads of the UN program hiding the fact that the Earth's been cooling for 10 years, stopped warming 15 years ago because of the sun cooling off. UK inquiry finds emails do not undermine climate science. UK inquiry finds emails do not undermine climate science. And then, of course, we wrote months ago about this inquiry. It's all headed up by top global warming globalists. This is like having Joseph Goebbels run the Nuremberg trials on Hitler. I mean, or having Bugsy Siegel run the trial of Al Capone, or having the Genoveses investigate the Gambinos. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's worse than the fox guarding the hen house. And we have a key article by Steve Watson up at PrisonPlanet.com. ClimateGate whitewash complete. Third inquiry clears everyone involved. And then we have our top stories today. They're up on GCNLive.com. That's GCN, the initials, GCNLive.com. That's the Genesis Network that syndicates this show. New York National Guard units scan vehicles for gun confiscations. We have the Fox News clip there from the local news and photos of the gun searches and confiscations going on in America at GCNLive.com. And we also have some other reports up on GCNLive.com. Polish troops trained to take on American terrorist, and our 25-minute video report, I sent two reporters for a week, 2 weeks ago, to Chicago. That report is now filed. Foreign troops training for gun confiscation on video and to take the American people on as terrorists. That's all up at GCNLive.com. So just unbelievably important information. Now for the balance of the hour, turning to guys who we could have on for 10 hours, and they have their own radio show on Rule of Law Radio. We'll give you that website. Before they leave us, they're James Lane and, of course, Chris Emery. And they're both filmmakers, researchers, some of the best research out there. And so I wanted both of them to just spend 4 or 5 minutes apiece explaining why Oklahoma City is important, giving the basic facts. And then you had some nice government documents about Jolly and West, the admitted mind control head MKUltra doctor, along with Ewing Cameron, being McVeigh's doctor throughout this whole thing. I mean, you can't. A science fiction writer couldn't come up with stuff this bizarre and in our face. So we'll talk about that today and who you think McVeigh really was. Chris Emery, why don't you take it first?
Well, thanks for having us on, Alex. The reason Oklahoma City is still relevant today is that it is a script that the federal government has followed for the last, I'd say, 35 years. And it's easy to see when an action comes up like 9/11 or these militia raids and so forth, you know pretty much you set up a clipboard and you know exactly what's going to happen. And even before I get into filmmaking and the truth movement, so to speak, or research on this, I was listening to your shows and I said, you know what, Alex is right. You hit all of the points and it's easy to see how they do this. And they have no compunction. They're not embarrassed. They're actually very proud of the fact that they repeat these. And it's insidious. It doesn't get any worse than that. People need to wake up. And they need to know not only Oklahoma City, but Waco. It's a consistent trail of events, and it gets worse. The body count is worse as it goes along. What we're trying to do with this film is bring out a lot of the information that people haven't been exposed to. James is going to elaborate on footage that has never been seen before that has come our way. We're going to highlight that.
You're interviewing Terence Yagi's family about how they murdered him. I mean, you're getting all the interviews.
Yes, sir. So anyway, we want to bring a completely fresh perspective on this, information that has never been revealed before, and we are very grateful for having the opportunity to be on here to reveal this information.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here. This was just an afterthought that you're here to interview me for the film. I'm honored to be part of that.
Yes.
But I mean, get into just the – let's say you had 3 minutes on national TV. What would you say to the public about Oklahoma City to get them to realize what really happened?
12 people were involved that we know of, it as many as 18. The scripted two perps and nobody else involved is complete bunk. That is a slap in the face to the victims, family members, and survivors. People need to realize that we are going to expose information. We choose to remember the deaths of these people and the truth versus a lie. The second thing is that there were so many people, so much resources. There was more money spent covering up this case than actually investigating in the proper manner. The federal government actually went backwards. They did a complete U-turn on all of the ethics, all of the integrity, all of the resources, the professional, everything they had. They threw it out the window just to make sure that this was covered up, because we know that there were actually assets, government assets, both in the United States and elsewhere overseas, that were involved in making sure that this thing came down. They were supposed to stop it at the last minute, and it backfired right at their feet.
Well, and that's what they always tell the mid-level people is, oh, we're going to stop this. Just like in the first World Trade Center attack right before Waco, I mean, they hired an Egyptian security agent, Ahmad Salam, had him cook a real bomb, and he's going, look, you're going to let the bombing go forward? He knew they were setting him up.
Exactly.
So he recorded them, and that came out in the New York Times and CBS, and they said, look, let it go ahead and happen. We're going to do this. And so that's how they always do it. But, I mean, you have Jane Graham, everybody else in the building, seeing McVeigh and the other guys in there planning the bombs, and she thought it was gray sticks of butter.
That's right. James, you wanted to go ahead and add a few things on that?
Yeah. I think the one thing that stood out to me the most as I'm doing my research was the Ampho bomb, the story that it was Ampho that was used. The ammonium nitrate and fuel oil mixture would create a cloud of nitric gas. Well, we know because of the Terence Yeake story that he was there within minutes of the bombing pulling Tom Hall out. Nobody had any problems with respiration. We know V.Z. Lawton, he was there. He's a survivor.
Nobody smelled it. And of course, General Parton, the building blown out, not in.
Right. Sure. And so, I mean, if it was Ampho, there would have been a huge nitric gas cloud over the building. And initially, right the minutes after the bombing, the wind was blown right into the building where V.Z. Lawton was. Nobody had any problems with that. So, I mean, that disproves that Ampho was used. We have evidence, the 40-year anniversary of a bombing in Madison, Wisconsin is coming up this August, and 23 people were sent to the hospital after the first responders were sent to the hospital because they were overcome with the fumes. You know, so we know that that's the pattern of it, and they expect us to believe this. It gets so cartoonish. It's almost like Wile E. Coyote tiptoeing in with the Acme bomb. You know, and this is what they expect the American people to believe.
Then we have the footage of them removing the other bombs that didn't go off. I mean, and parts of the building blown across the street, the opposite direction of the truck bomb. I mean, it just goes on, and then killing the cop that was exposing it, torturing him to death, and just I mean, it goes on and on.
Well, the story of Terence Yeake, you mentioned the video that we did on that. We just thought it was important for that story to be told. I mean, that man was a real hero. He worked himself beyond exhaustion to save people that day, and he said that was the official story was not how it happened. And, you know, I mean, he was concerned for his safety.
Right before they tortured him to death, he thought he'd been poisoned, right?
Yeah, he was sick. They were talking about getting him to the hospital. And I think to protect his family, he kind of isolated himself from them. And he was on the way to a meeting that morning, and he never made it. You know, and
they found him tortured to death.
Yeah, the rope burns, possible rope burns on the neck, the angle of the shot. He bled out in the car, walked a quarter of a mile after bleeding out, and then shot himself at a downward angle. You know, it ruled suicide immediately, and it's absurd.
The information that we're getting, Alex, you let us know how you're doing on a break, is that there are good members of law enforcement, local, county, state, and federal level that have come forward, either admitted their identity or wanted to be anonymous. And there's a consistent pattern of, okay, this is the information that makes sense. What the federal government and their, like you said, the cartoonish story, simply can't hold its own. There is no factual foundation on it. So we go back and we say, okay, we're going to present the information that we know is factual. Reams of documentation, every single thing that we're going to have on the film, we'll have a bibliography, and there's going to be reference on all of that. So there's no question. and we're going to paint a completely different story. We need to get the truth out on this. People will have that as a foundation, just like a lot of your movies, to make a judgment call on what's going to happen in the future. They have to know.
Well, then you've got the FBI coming and brandishing guns at Hoppe Heidelberg, the head grand juror's house, and telling him you're not going to call these witnesses, you're going to shut up. I mean, you have the motive. I mean, Bill Clinton on Air Force One a year after the attack, they said, why did you get reelected? Your approval rating was way down. It went way back up. He said, Oklahoma City got me reelected. Hmm. Well, I mean, that's why Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag.
The Whitewater documents were housed in the building for the whole investigation.
He was going to go down like a lead balloon. It was unbelievable. May of that year, congressional hearings were going to take him down on the Whitewater investigation.
Let's fix this all with one shot. Blow that building, make sure there's kids inside. People love images of them, and get rid of them documents at the same time. We'll be right back. We're going to go right back to our guest in studio, listening on the radio out there on the AM and FM dial, Global Shortwave, Satellite, XM. You can also watch us live streaming video at PrisonPlanet.tv. Chris Emery, filmmaker, director, producer, living in Oklahoma City, known him for many years. And, of course, James Lane, also doing great work, both making a Oklahoma City film set to come out in the winter of this year. Okay, you were going over incredible information about Jolly and West and you know, other tidbits, things that are documented on record but are so bizarre, it's where truth is stranger than fiction. Get into it.
We've got a researcher, Wendy Painting, that has been uncovering these documents, and she's actually getting through information that the FBI hadn't even seen. It was actual records for the defense. And we've got a hold of Jolly West's resume. And I've always suspected...
That's McVeigh's doctor from the time he gets arrested to his execution.
Yes. And I always suspected that there was some link with, you know, mind control, psychological warfare. And sure enough, on the second page of his resume, we've got where he worked for the Tavistock Institute.
Which is the top British mind control operation. And then, of course, he was in the MK Ultra 77 hearings as the number two man in the world in the MK Ultra program under Ewing Cameron.
Right. And now this Tavistock Institute has direct links back to when the Fabians absorbed the National Socialist Science through Project Paperclip. So, I mean, this guy was really the inheritor of that knowledge. And now he goes in to the location there in El Reno.
Mm-hmm. In fact, guys, got a document cam shot of this. I'll keep going.
And in El Reno. And what did the warden say there?
Well, the warden says he runs a clean operation that was at the Federal Correctional Facility, a mile and a half from where Terry Ickes' body was found, by the way. And when he found out that there were hypodermic needles on McVeigh's tray, he says, that's it. I do not allow drugs. I don't allow paraphernalia, nothing in my prison. What's going on here? 2 weeks later, he was relieved. He was transferred to another facility.
And that's how the Japanese created their mind control assassin ninjas was drugs and sex, but please continue.
Well, we see that they said that he was so drugged up, that McVeigh was so drugged up at that point that he would have admitted to assassinating Abraham Lincoln. Then Jolly West's protege took over after that, Dr. John Smith. Now, he is currently in psychiatric department at Guantanamo Bay. So, again, these guys, there's a constant...
And they admit Guantanamo Bay has a CIA base on it where they do mind control study. Yeah. That's MSNBC.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is amazing.
And there's transcripts that show where Jolly West is talking about working with Jack Ruby. I mean, he goes back that far. And the type of situation that Jack Ruby was going through and the mental stress that he dealt with and comparing that with McVeigh. McVeigh showed signs of post-traumatic stress, Gulf War syndrome, prior to being deployed. Dental visits. I mean, just an enormous number of dental visits in the military. That doesn't happen. You know, what were they doing with this guy?
Well, that's where they knock you out and you disappear a few days.
And it's enough to pose solid questions, you know.
Well, the state police, when he got pulled over, they said he was
Charlie Hanger.
Yeah, go over what a cop said. I mean, he was out of his gourd.
He was surprised to see that McVeigh was packing heat, and he had several magazines of rounds on himself and in the car. But the peculiar thing about Charlie Hanger, a lot of folks don't realize, it was his day off. He's 62 miles outside of his precinct. What in the world is Charlie Hanger doing zooming up I-35 going after... In fact, he wasn't chasing anybody in particular. He was just cruising, and he stopped McVeigh for a speeding violation. And then to find out his tag was off, he wasn't registered. There was a lot of things that certainly posed a lot of questions. Number one, Charlie Hanger wasn't supposed to be there. So that
an FBI agent told the LA Times they've seen these tapes, but they're saying they don't exist.
How many tapes did they copy over?
580 tapes were actually copied and contracted for by the federal government. There were survivors that sued for 24. The FBI lied, said, well, they didn't exist. And they said, well, we lied, but here's another lie. So out of 580 tapes, there were 120 of interest, which means they had three copies of 120 tapes. That's five times more than the original amount that they...
But the local news talked to the FBI agents. They say there's one from right over the truck, and you can see John Doe number two and McVeigh, big as Dallas.
So all of these things, this body of information literally comes at us by accident or by people that are conscientious, sitting on it for several years, and they come and say, look, we need to get this out.
What do you make of all these people that were in prison with him and Terry Nichols and others with these signed affidavits that McVeigh was like, yeah, I was in black ops. We were setting up militias. I mean, that fits with the MO we had.
Their family was surprised. McVeigh's family was surprised. They said that he worked for the government. He wrote the letter saying that he was working for the CIA, smuggling drugs in. They just assumed that he was black ops.
Now, this is on an FBI 302 witness statement. It's bona fide people. We're not pulling this stuff out of our ear. This is documentation. The federal...
Stay there. We got a long segment. I'm going to try to quit injecting points there. There's so many. But let's go over who McVeigh was. Let's go over what's admitted. I mean, this guy, and for all you black ops people out there, they're going to set you up too, okay? They enjoy burning you. Remember the Mayak report. They hate veterans. They hate cops.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns. Here that build the death planes.
We're going right back to our guest with this intriguing information here in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about Pure Water Freedom. PureWaterFreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower and bath filters. All their filters are made in the USA. Check out their banners on Prison Planet and InfoWars.com, or go to PureWaterFreedom.com today to take control of your water supply. Or you can just trust the government and the hundreds of deadly chemicals they put in the water by design and not filter your water. PureWaterFreedom.com, all made in the USA. And I know that makes a lot of globalists mad. Now, going back to Chris Emery and, of course, James Lane working on this this Oklahoma City bombing film, which will be out in the fall or the winter. Continuing, gentlemen, with what you were discussing there about just, all the bizarre things here in these FBI reports and now the affidavits and all these witnesses and McVeigh telling people, yes, I'm a government agent, and one day this is all going to come out. And then you see him on TV doing interviews, just looks like he's bombed out of his mind, looks like a complete drug addict on the side of the road. And he's got the top mind control doctor living, because Cameron had died by then, Jolly and West there in, shooting him up with this stuff. I mean, this is incredible.
Well, if they would just show us the tapes, there's how many tapes that Jesse Trinidou tried to get?
Jesse had contacted myself and a couple other survivors, member of the bombing committee, and he says, what location should we ask for the tapes? And we gave it to him. He went to the federal government. They obfuscated. They delayed. They gave him stuff, a video footage of people walking in buildings two blocks away. Had nothing to do with the Murrah building at all.
Hallways in the building next door. It was ridiculous.
Complete garbage. And so he was able to get about 28 tapes, but they were useless. I told Jesse, I said, Jesse, they have 118 in their possession that we know of, that they duplicated three copies of. So we know that was, as they say, of interest. Ask for every single one of those tapes. He didn't get them.
They say national security. They say that.
I saw that in the news and in papers. National security on these videos. Because it's national security that the globalists blew that building up.
Right. And that's why we're calling the documentary A Noble Lie. That's from Plato's The Republic, where it's the lie that the elite tell to maintain social harmony in their position. It was so ridiculous. They just keep perpetuating this lie and expect people to believe it. I guess, national security. It would be against social harmony. If they would just show us the tapes, it would answer all the questions. It would answer the John Doe questions, as far as who was in the truck.
Well, let's go back before we get into that, because we left off of that. Who is McVeigh? I mean, this guy disappears out of the military. He's showing up at all these militias all over the country. Mm-hmm. He's telling family I'm black ops infiltrating militias. He's telling others I'm bringing narcotics in for the government.
He was a sharpshooter in the U.S. Army during the first Persian Gulf War. In fact, he was so good that he was on the security detail for General Schwarzkopf, which means you really have to get your numbers, accuracy and everything. And he was commended. Ironically enough, he was giving a Medal of Commendation when he was in prison, actually, in the county jail in Denver awaiting trial. That's how good he was. The Army was obligated to give him that medal. After he got out, the FBI lost track of him for, well, we know at least 4 months, as long as 6 months. And that's when he turned up with the Bill Bean story up in South Dakota, or North Dakota at, it was the National Guard training base.
Yeah, where they actually train in explosives.
So, and there's anyway. Clear video of him at the explosives base a year after he supposedly got out of the military.
And that's all been vetted out by linguistics experts from the University of Utah. Mr. Bean did a very good job, superb job, everything thorough research right there. So that's ironclad. He had at least four different identities that we know of. South Dakota driver's license, a Michigan driver's license, Arizona driver's license, and an Arkansas driver's license.
He's just like Lee Harvey Oswald, who is now has been declassified, was at a CIA base in Japan and was allowed to infiltrate Russia and then allowed to come back to the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, here are these spies, you know, shooting the president.
Now, the people, it's one thing to ask McVeigh, it's the people that he actually surrounds himself with. Andreas Strassmeier, national from West Germany, dad's number three with the Helmut Kohl administration, traveling throughout the U.S. with an expired visa for 4 years, no gainful employment, all of his credit card bills are being paid for. Come to find out, he actually had the passcode to the federal building in downtown Fort Worth. While he's trying to infiltrate these different militia groups, both in Texas and in Oklahoma. 4 weeks before Oklahoma City bombing happened, he was literally kicked out of Texas by the militia groups. They actually scouted him going into the rear door of the federal courthouse, punching the keypad, the security keypad. 24 hours later, they said, look, you got 3 days to get out of this state or else we can't guarantee your safety. Where does he go? Ellwood City in Oklahoma. Unbelievable.
And that's got the Southern Poverty Law Center running it.
Absolutely. They're all over that like white on rice. So, anyway, you wanted to talk about the tapes, I guess. We had other information on that.
Well, no, we covered that. I mean, basically, they're just, they if they just told us they caught on fire or something, it'd be at least more believable.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, they're like, well, no, that all of the tapes, outside tapes in all the separate buildings through separate security systems all changed their tapes at the same time. You know, it's absurd.
But we have FBI agents who told the LA Times and others, because I have these articles, mm-hmm. that they have seen the videos, and it shows Tim McVeigh with John Doe number two.
Secret Service memorandum, actually 2 weeks after the bombing. It's right there. And that was actually entered in the state trial for Terry Nichols in March of 2004.
And Nichols has signed an affidavit saying that McVeigh was black ops.
Yes. He has no reason to make this stuff up. Terry has everything to lose and nothing to gain by that claim.
What about the new guy that I interviewed? I mean, he's not new. He's been around for years, but we were able to get the first interview in over a decade. Mr. Cooper, and he was saying that McVeigh basically told him the same thing, and they told him, we won't execute you if you'll just shut up.
David Paul Hammer.
Hammer, not Cooper. Yeah.
That's all right. There's some very good information to support that. Again, David has some solid info, and Wendy has been able to corroborate a lot of that.
Yeah, and Chris was actually able to go out and scout some locations that was talked about in the book that there's no way that David Paul Hammer would have knowledge of that unless someone that was there, you know, told him about it.
If I may preface this, Alex, before I decided to really jump feet first into this project, in fact, Devin was with me, and we had a small film crew. We literally toured 5 miles around the crime scene, and we're trying to piece all of the stuff from the official story together. Didn't make any sense. Then we went back to what the committee had gathered in their 572-page report.
The Oklahoma's Bombing Investigation Committee.
OKCBombing.net, if you don't mind, we'll plug
it. Yeah, led by Charles Key.
Unbelievable.
State rep.
So we went through that book over a matter of about 4 weeks, and we're looking at all of these locations, and we're literally painting a mosaic of, yes, this does make sense. Physically, these guys, the 12 perps and the additional six, they may or may have not known that they were working for the government in various capacities. They were at these locations, and it was at least four different groups working together in concert to make this thing go off. It wasn't two lone nuts driving a Anfo truck in front of the Murr building.
And
it's ludicrous.
And how long would that take, 30 minutes or more for them to drive from that park in Kansas to the location in Oklahoma City? And by that point, the ammonium nitrate fuel oil mixture goes inert.
Yeah.
They would have to stop along the way and remixed it.
The Arabs, these 3,000-plus brought in by George Bush Sr., then a couple thousand by Clinton, the media investigating them, claiming that they were connected in with some of these other people. From your deep research, is that a red herring? Because that looks like classic government ops where they just have all sorts of other operations coming in at the same time to create a fog of war?
Yes, it is. And there were actually stunt doubles of McVeigh that we know of. There were two teams that carried this thing off. One to actually do the dirty deed, and then, of course, McVeigh and his useful idiots to take the fall.
There were many concentric circles in play.
Exactly. We
and, of course, none of them know all of it. I mean, it's like the London 7-7 bombing. Clearly, if you research that, they hired these guys to be part of a drill. They had the drill, and they blew them up on board the bus and the train. Some of them got away. It was even in the news at Canary Wharf, the police machine gunned them and just said, you didn't see that. I mean, it's so easy to do this stuff.
It's amazing. It just, they run the same script, and it's so disgusting, and just, it's appalling to see how they pull this off.
But continuing with the concentric team, sorry.
We have basically the two teams downtown. There were at least 12 individuals. They were sighted as early as 6 o'clock that morning, actually running, jogging the route, the escape routes they were going to take.
Well, at the same time, the Oklahoma Bomb Squad is at the courthouse across from the Murrow Building. Looking for explosives, and they never found any there. That's his reports, eyewitness reports, seeing that as early as, what, 6 a.m.?
6:15 a.m., there was the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Department and the ATF actually doing a roadblock, a bottleneck, 10 blocks away, checking vehicles for incendiary devices. And
what about the head of the FBI anti-terrorism crew lying and saying he was in Dallas and then got a flight, but then later it was proven, credit card receipts, he was there days before?
Danny Colson drove up at least 18 hours before. The credit card receipts at the embassy suites does corroborate that. So we're not quite sure why he chose to, as they say, distort the truth, but that's his deal. So credibility, right, it was gone. I can't believe anything he says. Ironically, Janet Reno removed him from the case 4 days after the bombing because he had basically turned and says, look, I show up for work every day. I'm supposed to do a good job on here. I want to investigate this case correctly. And she says, no, we don't need you on the team here. We're bringing in another team to completely corrupt this.
What about ATF? Because you had some of the emergency crews saying ATF was there in bomb gear and in their raid gear saying, bandage me up. I was on the ninth floor. And they're like, everybody, it's on record that that thing was empty and they weren't on the ninth floor. The elevator was blown out.
That's right. Exactly. And in fact, it was Dr. Chumley that told these guys to take a flying leap.
Tiffany Bible, she was a paramedic. She arrived 4 to 5 minutes after, and she said that there were agents in full gear. And then you've got other witnesses saying that they overheard the ATF say, is this why we got the page not to come in today? So, I mean, there is amount of evidence of foreknowledge. The FBI evacuation of the building, a separate building that morning.
And it's because the very small part of the government's involved with foreign black ops and others that this does come out. People always say, well, this stuff would come out if it was real. It did come out.
Yes. And in fact, it's out in full view right now. And that's why we're able to assemble all of the information. Folks, I can guarantee you right now, you have never heard, I'd say probably 70% of this has never been posted on.
Well, I'll tell you what, for your safety, I mean, obviously the film's coming out winter, and I can't wait to carry it at InfoWars.com and get it out to people. So I know you guys are great researchers and done a lot of original work. But for your own safety and for knowledge out there, I know you've already released some of this footage. It's so important. Tell people some of the new developments you've discovered.
We have over 10 hours of footage that hasn't been seen by the general public before and over 1,000 photographs. We've got excellent footage of the crater. And it's completely offset from the large bite in the building. And as General Parton said, that the building, the first bomb would have been around the third floor. Well, you can actually see, I mean, it's probably, 30, 40 feet offset from the small crater where the car bomb was. And then the floors are actually concaved around the third floor. So you could see, and that was the biggest bite in the building where it blasted that out. You had people said that they heard what sounded like a rifle shot, a high-powered rifle shot, which is it works the same way with C4. It wouldn't have been as loud of an explosion. And that's where you hear all of the survivors talk about rubble coming down, people getting under their desks. They had time to get under their desk, and then the car bomb goes off outside. The bus tilts twice,
6 blocks away. 14 people were in that building, had enough wherewithal, the cognitive ability to take cover. That simply wouldn't have happened if they would have been hit.
And you see the repeat with the feds. They love to have their diversion. The plane flies in, then the buildings blow up. and then no one notices the 47-story building not hit that falls in perfectly. We interview the guy who was the deputy head of emergency management. He says, yeah, there were bodies. You know, they blew it up. Then he dies mysteriously. But, I mean, it's the same thing here. Real bombs go off, diversionary truck bomb, because the public's going to go, well, how did they get bombs inside? I mean, it's just it's sick how they, how their psychopathic brains work. It's criminology. They do the same stuff over and over again.
And the lack of humanity. I mean, the children that were in the building.
Well, it's a gambit. I mean, when you understand the military officer mind, and this goes back thousands of years, they write about it. You know, let's say you're Alexander the Great or you're Julius Caesar or somebody else. If you send out a detachment of, say, 50 guys into a valley where you know an army is at, but you want to draw them out and see their numbers, you know your 50 guys are going to get cut off and killed. But now your argument is that'll save 100,000 of your main army because now you've gotten that intel.
The ends justify the means.
And so the ends justifies the means, the noble lie. And so America needs to take over. The Arabs are dangerous. We're going to blow these buildings. And we need a Pearl Harbor level event, as the PNAC document said by the vice president,
right,
to get this done. And it's the same thing. Oklahoma City, they've got their collectivist world government. All these states we're moving to get out of the UN and to declare the 10th Amendment. Well, we'll just blow the hell out of this building and blame it on the Patriots. And that's what they did. Within 10 minutes, Bill Clinton said, talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, it's your fault.
You know, and they're already digging this back up to demonize the renewed patriot movement in this country. We've got a researcher, Kay Beach, is, you know, going to talk about the Myack Report and the Department of Homeland Security right-wing extremism lexicon, and how they use the Oklahoma City bombing to demonize the Tea Party. It's like, oh, if you believe in supporting the Constitution and you oppose tyranny, well, you're a McVeigh. You're one of those government haters.
Oh, no, they say I'm a McVeigh.
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you, the Southern Poverty Law Center in that Chris Matthews documentary, they call me by my first name. Oh, Alex, we're not saying he's going to cause violence, but his followers are. So now I guess I've never talked to these people, but they're on a first name basis. That's how much they're, because I know they don't like it that I talk about how they were running Elohim City.
Well, we were doing the 15th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing press conference. At the same time, there was a Tea Party going on outside in Oklahoma City. And this is at the time that there was a lot of talk about militias again. And nobody was really even talking about it. They were talking about like a volunteer force to take over because all the National Guard's deployed. And we have a lot of natural disaster in Oklahoma, and they wanted to have some volunteers ready to go in and help. And that's all that Charles...
Civil defense.
Right. Yeah, 22 states have...
Charles Key wants a militia to attack the government.
And all of that information that came out was not on the tape. It was not in the interview. The editor took the reporter's story and completely fabricated all this stuff.
Well, no, that's like Rand Paul. There's like a two-second delay, and he's like, excuse me, yes? Yes, I can hear you. Oh, you agree with getting rid of the Civil Rights Act? No, I don't. And then they ran the headline. He says, get rid of the Civil Rights Act. I mean, these are hoaxers.
Sure.
These are slime bags. These are crooks.
And it makes you wonder what they're cooking up, because in the public mind, they're trying to link patriot movement to militias to violence.
Muslims.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to say that the militias have linked up with Al-Qaeda. Can you believe those dirty American... I mean, yeah, the good old boys are working with Al-Qaeda when that's admitted CIA. I mean, folks, they're getting ready to set you up.
Yep.
The offshore banks know you're awake to what they've done, and they're going to blow stuff up and blame it on you unless we trump them with the info. And let me tell you, this hidden 15 years ago. People know about false flag terror now. It has entered the lexicon.
And that's why it's so important for this information to get out now, because, they're using it to demonize the renewed patriot movement in this country.
You guys better hurry. They could stage more stack attacks, more Oklahoma cities any day.
What we'd like to ask the viewers is to keep an open mind when this movie comes out. And thanks in no small part to you, Alex. I mean, you were definitely the support over the years. You were the inspiration for us to continue on. There were many times that we wanted to set this aside because literally, cognitive and mentally, it was so overwhelming. It was so bad. It was so deep. It was so far down the rabbit hole. But...
Well, when you know they're lying about that, then you start, everything's a lie.
Exactly.
Well, and that's why we want to get the truth out. I mean, I believe that bravery is contagious, you know, and I'm a member of We Are Change, and I really take that to heart, that we have to be the change that we want to see in the world. It's an internal process. We can change the outside by changing the inside.
Stay there. Final 5 minutes. Let's talk about that on the other side, because if we don't expose Oklahoma City, we can't expose 9/11. We can't expose the Gulf of Tonkin. We can't expose these false flag events. They're using them to enslave us. We'll be right back. InfoWars.com. All right, Aaron has worked on a 10-minute video that just went live with a story Obama guilty of high treason, selling out sovereignty to Mexico with his suit against Arizona. Key video up on Infowars.com. It's just now going up there right now. Look at this one. This is out of KDVR out of Denver, Colorado. Thieves could go free while victim faces jail time. Two illegal aliens were stealing his trailer. He ran out, told him to stop. He shot one of them who got injured, and he says he's going to face life in jail, and they're to be released because basically they're illegal aliens and God. So this is your criminal government, ladies and gentlemen, who wants to take your right to defend your life and property, just like England does. Holland O. Vandernieuwhoff is a really interesting fellow who I've interviewed before. We'll have him back on when the film comes out, but he's done deep research, and he's part of the film team. Holland, you've worked on the Oklahoma City connections to Oklahoma. Just real fast, rattle some of those off.
Well, we have a lot of concrete connections. For one, Hussein al-Husseini, who was named as John Doe number 2 by Jaina Davis at KFOR-TV in Oklahoma, filmed, named specifically by witnesses on the scene as that was the man who was in the truck, Hussein al-Husseini. He later works for Boston's Logan Airport on the day of 9/11. He was a baggage handler. And as I recall, two of the hijackers flew out of there, and that's where their luggage went through, and they found the incriminating will and so forth. And then you have, like, Melvin Lattimore, a man whose original credit cards were used in the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993. He was a known confederate of Tim McVeigh and friends of Tim McVeigh in 1995 before the bombing. And later on, he was a roommate of the 20th hijacker, the 20th 9/11 hijacker.
And the guy that got his head sawed off, he was at an airbase and loaned his laptop to one of the 9/11 people.
He was on a bus in Oklahoma City and loaned his laptop to one of the hijackers who used it to email the 20th.
That's right, a bus.
Actually loaned it to someone, an unknown person who used it to email the 20th hijacker in Minnesota. But this was like in year 2000. I mean, they didn't have wireless access on buses back then. I don't think they even have it now.
The point is, this is a spy nest.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there was at least one researcher who appeared before the 9/11 Commission to testify that Norman, Oklahoma was home to an Al-Qaeda cell prior to 9/11. Well, no one's ever been prosecuted or arrested in this cell, so obviously what was going on? There may have been some kind of logistics or support cell going on, but there were a lot of things going on, and the only way to view all of these events, World Trade Center 93, Oklahoma City, 9/11, is that it's they're not isolated. They are connected. They use some of the same people. They use the same SOPs, the same cover-up methods. They disregard the videotapes of the Pentagon. We've never seen a plane crashing into the Pentagon. We've never seen the videotapes of what happened in front of the Murrah building.
They wire a building, fly a plane in. Wire a building, bomb a truck.
It's not bad enough that they blow up a truck bomb outside a building or they fly a plane into the building. They got to wire the building with explosives to increase the body count. It's the same SOP. And one of the points about this movie is unless we confront the people who are doing this, bring them to justice, this is going to keep on going. It's going to keep on happening, and each time it's going to get worse.
How did you get involved in this?
I'm from Oklahoma. I started researching the case, and I started doing some research on my own, putting out a hand-printed newsletter that I would hand out, and I met Chris Emery at an event where he's handing out copies of Final Report.
September of 05.
We started to collaborate. We started collaborating at other conferences, truth conferences, low-power FMs, radio shows, and this is just another step in trying to expose the truth. It's been an honor. It's been, this meeting Chris really set me on the path to finding the right thing to do here.
And that's Holland O. Vandernieuwhoff. Pronounce it right?
Vandernieuwhoff.
I always get names wrong here.
It's all right.
Well, it's always good to have you on. I had you on, what, 2-3 years ago?
About 3 or 4 years ago when I posted one of my first articles about the connections between 9/11 and...
Yeah, that was a good story.
If I may, if we have a second, I want to give a special mention to Devin Winter, our director of photography and our production coordinator. Devin has actually followed a lot of your work for the last 7-8 years. He came on board with this film, and he says, I'm in because I want the truth to come out. And he's actually done a lot of the commercial interviews for the official story, and he says, that doesn't hold water. He says, I want to come on board with you.
That's wonderful. We look forward to interviewing him when the film comes on the stage. It's being used to enslave you and your family. Stand up and say no. Thanks for coming in, guys. Good job to the crew today. See you back live tomorrow. 11 a.m. Central. God bless.